Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the Thursday version of our show. As always, you can call us anytime during the show at 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning to you, Mr. Bill.
How are you?
Enjoying a great day. Going to go shopping at Nordstrom later on today. This is all getting crazy. Can I just tell you that?
Oh, it's been crazy.
It's getting crazier.
It just continues to get crazier and crazier. I'm sure everybody knows what Wendy's referring to. They decided over at Nordstrom to no longer carry Ivanka Trump's line of clothing, which is their prerogative. They can certainly do that. They said it's because of slumping sales.
And even if it's not because of that, I mean, when you own a store, can't you decide what you sell?
Yes. That's part of the beauty of owning something is you make the decisions, right?
Thank God we'll never have to make any decisions in life.
Donald Trump, Wendy, if you'll remember, before he was the president of the United States, was a businessman. So I would think he would know better than anybody that when you're running a business, you get to make those types of decisions. So Nordstrom decided to cancel the line. I heard today on Steve Cochran's show, Pete McMurray's name in brackets, that they drop around 10% of their lines from year to year. They just make decisions. They look at numbers and go, okay, that's not moving the way we thought, so we're going to give that one the axe. They did that with hers. But then Donald Trump yesterday took a shot at Nordstrom's and their business practices.
Via tweet.
Yes.
I mean, are you supposed to be singling out a company as a businessman? It seems like you wouldn't do that when you're president of the United States.
Well, the stock took a big hit when he did it.
Initially.
And then it turned out okay. So yeah. maybe it worked for Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Well, you got your split decision there where some people are now going to go shop at Nordstrom because they're going to go, hey, good job. And there are Trump supporters who are going to go, screw you, Nordstrom. I'm going to Macy's.
Do you think that's happening with any business right now that's taking any kind of a stand politically, small or large?
Yes.
I thought that with the Super Bowl commercials, some of the Super Bowl commercials had a little bit of a political bend to them. And I thought to myself then, what was the lumber? Is it Lumber 84?
Lumber 84, yeah.
Lumber 84.
84 Lumber.
Is it 84 Lumber? All right. So with them, they had an ad that was pretty political during the Super Bowl and a longer, even more political version on their website. And I thought, my guess is the people that agree with them are really going to flock to them now saying, hey, our political beliefs align. But the people that were put off by that are going, okay, I'll get my lumber somewhere else then.
It's nominated for an Oscar for a short feature,
by
the way.
Yeah. Is it?
No.
Good.
But now they
that'd be great.
Now, did you see what Kellyanne Conway said today?
Yes.
I don't know if you heard me in the news. But
I did.
And what was it, Steve?
Well, she was on Fox, and
we talked about it
yesterday. I don't have the audio yet, but this winding of the business and the family and the... So she was talking about the Nordstrom issue, and she said, quote, go buy Ivanka's stuff.
Oh.
Another quote, I'm going to give it a free commercial. Go buy it today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't quite get that because most people who are legal people and look at it think that's against the law or violates executive rules.
Well,
because you can't advocate for a company or you're not supposed to. And
right.
So clearly she knows that. So she must have, I don't know if she was just trying to thumb everyone's no. I don't know exactly what would have led to her saying it quite like that.
Do you remember right after he won, there were so many people that questioned the ethics because he's so steeped in business. And I got to be honest with you. I even think Donald Trump himself, when he decided to run and all through the campaign and when he won, didn't quite understand the ramifications of what that meant to separate the office from his businesses because he's so deep in the businesses. So everybody said ethically, how will this play out if he's president? What will happen with his hotels and his real estate and on and on and on and on? And this, I think this is the perfect example of that they're so intertwined, you know?
Yeah, I think, it's just a hard thing to, first of all, it's almost impossible for him to separate himself. I don't know
right.
how you can do it.
Right.
Especially when the brand is your name. So it's very difficult, but I don't think he's trying very hard either.
No, it doesn't seem.
So, and, you know, we don't know what companies he's invested in. I wouldn't be surprised if he's invested in his daughter's company.
Right.
And so he's speaking out in behalf of it.
Right.
That we just don't know that, though, because of the tax return and such.
Because we haven't seen him because he's being audited. Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know how it's going to play out. I just know that this is the kind of thing people were worried about. is that because he is a businessman first and foremost, and now he is the president, so you have to take that into account too.
Let's listen to Kellyanne Conway.
He's been a champion for women empowerment, women in the workplace, to get to him. Just, so I think people can see through that.
30
go
seconds.
Go buy Ivanka's stuff is what I would say. I hate shopping. I'm going to go get some on myself today.
There is that hashtag buy Ivanka right now.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It seems like a slight endorsement.
She just said, I'm going to give it a commercial. I mean, is this legal?
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is.
Don't we have laws? Is the president immune from the laws?
I don't know if this, I'm not positive there's a law against this. I think it falls more under ethics than it just does if there's a clear-cut law. I'm not positive that it's actually written in stone somewhere that it's illegal. It just seems the wrong thing to do. And it also seems, we've talked
about
this.
Well, no, it's more, I mean, if what she did was wrong, it's more than the wrong thing to do. It's contrary to the executive branch's
right,
rules. And yeah,
I know.
Rules, schmules.
Right. Right.
Every day is something new and exciting to talk about.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? That's the fun of it.
No, because it's real.
It is real. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. There's a lot to discuss. What are your thoughts? I see the calls already stacking up. We would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
And experience the sights and sounds of the San Filippo Estate, home to the world's largest collection of automatic musical instruments. Cool. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
It's Bill and Wendy. We're your hosts. And we're also a promo code, I just found out. You can call us at 312-981-7200. We're trying to sort out the Nordstrom story with Ivanka Trump. Is it just unethical? Is it illegal? What exactly is it?
All right. We heard Kellyanne Conway, who was on Fox and Friends this morning, and mentioned, you know, go buy Ivanka's clothing. Mm-hmm. I'm going there right now. And then I have Sean Spicer talking about the tweet that Donald Trump put out, was it yesterday, against Nordstrom?
Yeah.
This is what Sean Spicer had to say.
I think this was less about his family business and an attack on his daughter. He ran for president. He won. He's leading this country. And I think for people to take out their concern about his actions or his executive orders on members of his family, he has every right to stand up for his family and applaud their business activities, their success. So, look, when it comes to his family, I think he's been very clear how proud he is of what they do and what they've accomplished. And for someone to take out their concern with his policies on a family member of his is not acceptable. And the president has every right as a father to stand up for them.
Now, you can see where he's standing up for Ivanka, and I get that being a parent. But
there's nothing wrong with being proud of your children. That's a good thing. But do you remember any president ever doing anything like this? I don't.
And the other thing is, it's she wasn't maligned personally or individually.
Right.
It was her business.
Right.
And I'm sure that if Nordstrom was selling a lot more stuff because of her association with the White House, they would have kept
it. They would have definitely kept it. Steve, do you remember the summer you and I went to the Billy Carter Dude Ranch?
I do. I loved it because it's the only place you can get the beer anymore.
Right. Right. I don't remember Jimmy Carter ever endorsing it. Do you?
The beer?
The beer
the Billy
or the
Carter
Dude Ranch?
Beard? No, I don't think so.
Nope.
Remember Billy Beer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I still have a can of it somewhere.
That was back when people collected beer cans.
Yes. That's right.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Let's talk to Larry. How does that sound? Hi, Larry.
Morning, ladies. And guys, I like the show.
Eventually, just keep it as ladies.
I knew eventually.
I like
get
it.
That's fine. All right.
Hello, you Nancy boys.
I was a chimney sweep for 12 years, and back in the late 80s or very early 90s, the White House contacted the National Chimney Sweep Guild, which is in Indianapolis now, to come and clean and inspect all the fireplace chimneys in the White House.
Yeah.
They had to sign a statement that said they will not advertise that they did any work at all in the White House. Any company that does any work in the White House, plumber, brick mason, anything like that, electrician, cannot advertise that they do work in the White House. Okay, that's a thing that they have to sign. So then when the White House endorses Trump's daughter's product, which she really doesn't make, they just put her name on it,
sure.
I believe, then can anybody who works in the White House say, I did the electrical work, or I rebuilt the chimneys in the White House. See, what, T for tat, you know.
Steve, that's what were you going to say?
You never hear a commercial saying the official salt pellet of the White
never.
House.
Never.
No.
Right.
You might start, though. Larry, thank you very much for calling. That's a good question. George has a comment. Hi, George.
Doesn't she have an office in the White House?
She does.
Now, she gave up her job because her husband took a job as some sort of titled deal with this guy, with Trump.
Yes.
So what's her role now? Well, she's in the White House.
I don't wait. Are you 100% sure of that, Bill? I don't know that she does.
She's on staff as an advisor.
Yes, I believe you are correct, Bill.
She is.
So what's the deal there? I mean, she's in the White House. She said she gave up her businesses, so this shouldn't matter to her. Now the wife is complaining that her brand is damaged because she wants to sell her stuff.
Yeah,
because of
her jewelry.
What was in the Daily Mail. I mean, this is madness. This is honest to God madness. No rules, no breaks, no nothing, no filters. These people are out of control.
George, do you remember? I said earlier I don't remember a president ever endorsing any line of anything. Do you? I don't.
This is shameful, beyond shameful. And then he goes and he has the nerve to go after John McCain.
Yeah, that was
John
the
McCain,
new tweet this morning.
You know, that's going to be his downfall. His downfall is going to be he's going to go after these old school Republican guys who are going to have enough of him. He's going to step on something and they're going to go after him and they're going to get rid of him. Because whether you like it or not, he's going to ruin that party. And I'm not a Republican, but they got to watch themselves because this guy is completely out of control. He's going to bring down that whole party. I mean, it's been 3 weeks. It feels like 3 years. My head's going to explode with all this stuff.
There's a lot coming fast. Hey, I want to say one thing because, I know there was early talk that she might have a role. Her husband does.
Jared Kushner does.
Definitely.
I'm trying to get an answer. You know, it's hard to get a direct answer, but the CNN in a story they wrote just within the past day says, while Trump does not have a formal role in her father's administration.
But she's been described as an advisor.
I mean, she's a family member, and she probably will be. And, you know, there's been some talk of her sort of stepping in in first lady roles as Melania is not in Washington. That may all be, but I don't. She doesn't have a formal position
as far as I know. She has an office in the White House. She went with him on that trip when they went to visit the family when this
at Delaware.
Yes, certainly.
I mean, if they're using the pulpit of the office to sit there and promote her crap and then the wife's crap and all this other stuff, I mean, listen, these folks are out of control. They don't have any rules. They don't respect the office. They don't respect what's supposed to be done, you know, as president. I mean, this is just crazy. Every day it's something else.
Thank you, George.
We appreciate
your comment. You mentioned if there was another president that tried to sell wares. Not really, but there was another president who was sticking up for his daughter, like Donald Trump is doing. Set the Wayback Machine to December 6, 1950, when President Harry S. Truman picked up a copy of the Washington Post on that date.
Yeah.
There was a bad review of his daughter, Margaret Truman, who had a singing performance, and he was really mad about it. Paul Hume had said, he stated bluntly that Miss Truman cannot sing very well and has not improved over the years. So Harry S. Truman wrote a letter to Mr. Hume, and it says this: I've just read your lousy review of Margaret's concert. I've come to the conclusion that you are an 8-ulcer man on 4-ulcer pay. It seems to me that you are a frustrated old man who wishes he could have been successful. When you write such poppycock as was in the back section of the paper, you work for it shows conclusively that you're off the beam and at least 4 of your ulcers are at work. Someday I hope to meet you. When that happens, you'll need a new nose, a lot of beefsteak for black eyes, and perhaps a supporter below.
Wow.
Kick him in the...
Yep.
Wow.
Get a jockstrap ready and some frozen peas. Signed, Harry S. Truman.
All right, so it has been done before.
But you defend your kid. I get that,
right.
But you...
Did
you know,
do that on Twitter? Because... I don't know if anyone really paid any attention to Twitter back then. How about that?
So that's a little flashback.
Gutsier than Harry S. Truman than I've ever heard before. All right, we need to take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Yeah, they all said it.
And he popped a pot roast all over his
If you're
chest.
Putting those two words together, excitable and boy, you can only think of one man, and that is David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage, who's sitting right over there. Hello, David.
I thought you were going to say pot roast.
Well, you could also, I guess,
jumped
yeah.
a pot roast over his head. You would do that.
Yeah. Bill's head in a minute.
No, yours.
Yeah, my head, not my head. Yeah,
for attention, sure, why not?
How are you? Everything good?
I'm fantastic. I look good, feel good, sound good.
We're supposed to say that of
good.
You.
Yeah, shaved today. Knew I was coming on WGN.
You know, I just mentioned Pearl Mortgage at my bank. I was there for some business, and I had said something about, you know, refinanced and got a better rate, and I hate to leave you, but... And she goes, oh, I totally understand. Do you mind if I ask who you went with? And mm-hmm. I said, Pearl Mortgage. And she said, okay, we just like to keep track of the competition out there.
Yeah. While we're sleeping and having you sit in your high interest rate loans, we just want to know, because there's an actuary in the back room with the green little hat on, thinking if we don't call anybody to refinance anybody,
right.
there's going to be a certain percentage of you
right.
dummies out there that aren't going to refinance out of your high loans, and that's what we like. We like dumb customers
right.
coming
See,
into our
See, this is
bank.
The attitude that scares people off sometimes.
This is what's frightening people.
But can I just say,
it's
you
true.
Want someone like that working for you.
Yes.
It's true.
We
monitor everybody's interest rates, and when the interest rates go down, we call you. How many times have I called you, Wendy? You know, to refinance, four, five, six times already. You think the
it's,
bank,
yeah.
How many times did your bank call you? Oh, never.
No.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right, yeah.
There's no limit on the number of times you can refinance,
no,
right?
But it has to make sense. If you're just going down,
right.
sometimes a quarter point might
there
not
be
worth it.
There has to be what's
it.
Called a net tangible benefit.
That's what I was just going to say.
That's what it is.
The
very
tangible
good.
Benefit. And you have you remortgaged five or six times?
Yeah.
Have you
refinanced,
really? Wow.
Yeah.
Refinanced. Yeah,
wow.
Remortgaging is another category we haven't gotten
to. It's definitely been five times.
It's definitely been five times. Yeah.
I am working on a merger between Pearl Mortgage and the Pearl Vision Center and Pearl Bailey, and I hope to have that in place.
Let me know when it goes through.
All right.
Yeah, I have nothing to do with that, but
that's
fine. I'm sure it'll be a seamless transition.
Yep.
And
great.
This is Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L, just in case you want to Google it right now and find out all about the excitable boy.
Yeah, I actually just bought Pearl David, P-E-A-R-L, as well. After 4 years or
Did
2 years.
As for a website, you mean?
Yeah, as a backup. Because people, after a year and a half being at Pearl.
They punch it in wrong.
Yeah, they punch it in wrong. You figured, master the obvious, it was available. So I'm like, all right, boom.
Well, people, when they hear Pearl, they're going to spell it the traditional way. But,
right.
But,
the necklace,
yeah.
Pearl necklace, right.
Yes.
P-E-A-R-L, yes. But it's P-E-R-L. But I have it both ways. If you want.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. Let's get down to business. What is your topic of discussion today?
Well, there are two things. There are the, I thought we'd do a true and false kind of question for
this
you guys.
Will be fun.
All right.
So,
a bill against me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, there's no competition there. You're going to smoke them. But here, true or false? The
false.
Government... That's good.
You're
Bill,
right.
Bill is a jerk.
False.
Yes. Wrong.
See, I defended
Wrong.
You.
True. The right answer is true. The government will own my home if I take out a reverse mortgage.
I would have said true, but I learned from you that it's false.
Correct.
I'm it also going, oh, well, now I will definitely go with false. I'll double down and say false.
It is false. The government does not own your home. I have a lady right now, a WGN listener. Her husband wants to take out a reverse mortgage, but she's got it in her head for some reason. That the government's going to own their home. And I've sent them frequently asked questions up the wazoo, links and everything, but she has it in her head that the government's going to own her home.
Here's the thing, though. I'll never get to the point where I pay off my mortgage.
Right.
I don't really think I'll ever own my
Most
home.
Most people don't.
But
Correct.
In our parents' day, that was like, you know, you burn the deed or whatever. And
well, you burn the mortgage. You don't
oh,
burn
not
the deed.
The deed.
Right.
No, you want
or the
that.
House. Right.
Right.
Burn the mortgage.
But it was a big thing, and I can see where some people who have finally paid off their house are like, whew.
Yeah.
But that's money they can be using that they might need somewhere else.
Correct. And that's the purpose
but
of the reverse
scary.
Mortgage.
But it's scary. You got to understand that.
We're saving this guy $1,500 a month, $15,000 to $18,000 a year, which goes a long way with his living expense. We eliminate the mortgage. You know, you pay off his mortgage, you eliminate the mortgage payment. He won't have to make a mortgage payment if he doesn't want to anymore. And we would cover all of his lender's fees and title's fees, so there was no reason. But for some reason, his wife thinks that the government's going to own the house. So here's question number two. The money I take out with a reverse mortgage is taxed by the IRS.
I'm going to say false on that one, too.
Wendy?
False.
Correct. You both are correct. You guys have been paying attention for the past 7 years I've been in here. The money you take out of your home with the reverse mortgage is 100% tax-free.
Yeah.
It does not get taxed. So, for again, these are questions we get all the time, and these are the top four questions we get.
So how, in the long run, I don't even know if you can put an average on this, but how much could somebody save during a year just because that money is not taxed?
Well, here, if you're taking out $20,000
yeah.
a year and you're in the 30% tax bracket, figure it out. It's about $10,000.
Yeah.
And here's
over
something else. If you eliminate a $1,500 tax payment, right? A
yeah.
$1,500 housing payment.
Yeah.
You're just picking up $18,000 of cash flow a year. The other thing is you might be able to kick your Social Security disbursement from 62 to 65 or from 65 to 70 and a half. So when you have to take your required minimum distribution, you don't have to, you know, you can let that money sit in your account while you're living off your house.
Yes.
The other thing is financial planners have told me you could get between 25 and 30% more from Social Security if you opt to get Social Security when you're 70 or 70 and a half, whenever it kicks in,
65.
As opposed to 65. If you make it to 70 and a half. So what are you going to do? Live off the flipping house that you're living in that you paid off
yeah.
so you get more benefits in the future. It just makes a lot of sense.
But until somebody says it like that, I still look at you as you're rattling these numbers like,
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
But when you put it into like context like that, people can comprehend that.
It makes sense.
But prior to that, like, you don't know who to ask or what to ask, so you're
well,
very
right.
helpful.
Thank you. Well, you see, and I appreciate that. You know, you used to see Fred Thompson. Now you see Tom Selleck in Fred Thompson's place, may he rest in peace, and you see Henry Winkler, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then you see Pat Boone,
mm-hmm.
and people have flashbacks to, you know, Pinky Tuscadero and, you know, Tom flying, you know, and jumping the shark, and Tom in his helicopter and his Ferrari,
yeah.
and Pat Boone doing whatever Pat Boone
did. What's
you know,
he talking
did.
About?
No, it's just back in the day, people watch these people on TV, and they're like, oh, I trust these people. Then you go into a hotbox call center
yeah.
out in Utah someplace. You don't know who the hell you're talking
Tom
to.
Tom Selleck does not answer those calls?
No,
I was hoping to get a room with Arthur Fonzarelli.
No,
I thought that's what
I guess
it was.
That doesn't work that way. That's disappointing news.
And Bill was hoping to get a room with Tom Selleck. Reverse mortgages are expensive to secure. True or false?
I wasn't listening.
I don't think that's true at all. That's false.
If you, it depends on the lender. If you take out $100,000 with
yeah.
us, we will cover all the lender's fees and all the title fees. Other lenders want to charge you up to $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to take out reverse mortgages. So they can be expensive. Be careful who you're working with.
All
and
right.
last question, will my family, and this is big, will my family or estate ever owe more than the value of my home when I pass away or move out of the house?
I would say no.
Will David's family or estate owe more? I'm going to also say no.
Yeah, and that is 100% correct. They're non-recourse loans. So let's say you owe $400,000 on the mortgage and the house is only worth $300,000 and you want to keep your family home within your family,
yeah.
right? Because you've passed away and you grew up there and you're whatever, you went up there for the summers or whatever. The family can buy the house back at the appraised value. What happens to the difference? The lender files an insurance claim with FHA and gets the money back from FHA. The family has the right to buy the house at the current market value and doesn't have to make up the shortage if the house is worth less than what they owe on the house.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
A lot of people don't know that either. So those are the top five questions. Are those five? One, two, three, four
you did
questions.
Four.
Four questions.
What do you make of this? There is a major university near me that has a deal with people who live in the town that
mm-hmm.
says, we'll pick up your house payments, but then when you die, we get your house. What do you make of that?
There are some places now, organizations that are offering, we will give you the down payment if we get 50% of your home's increase in value.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of crazy things happening.
Yeah.
Right
Who
now.
Would do that?
Well, I mean,
is that a good thing?
Well, it's, to some people it's good. To some people it's not good, right? Baskin-Robbins is 31 flavors because everybody likes a different flavor. You know, for every day of the month, some people like nuts on their ice cream. Like Bill, I'm not
yeah.
a big fan of nuts
oh.
on my, you know, and other things I like nuts, but not on my
yeah.
ice cream.
Right.
But you know, but what I'm saying is, in some places, it's a good deal for some people.
Let's say you don't have any heirs. There's nobody you're giving the house to when you're gone.
And what's
so,
the deal again? They'll pay for what?
They pick up your payments
yes.
on the house, but then when you die, they get your house.
For the right person, it could be a sweet deal.
Yeah.
You know, for other people, it's not a good deal. It depends on your specific situation and your specific time frame for what your asset position is. You know, some people need to eliminate a $2,000 payment. Right. So, hey, you know what? I'm willing to give you, you know, to pick up $24,000 a year in cash flow take the future value of my house. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Okay. You know, so it all depends. It could talk be good about, for some, bad for others.
You're saying specific, and someone just texted that specific. I have an $89,500 mortgage on a home worth $225,000.
Yeah.
You got that $89,500 yeah, worth $225,000.
Right.
He's so fast. At 3.5%. That's the rate they're at now. Also, credit card debt of $8,000, interest rate 11%, as a reverse mortgage beneficial to me.
If you have to be at least, you have to be at least 62 years old, one person in the house. And that could be beneficial to that person, sure. You know, if they're looking to eliminate cash, if they're looking to generate cash flow. Obviously, the cash flow is not there if they have $8,000 with the credit card debt, right? If you have credit card debt, your cash flow is not great. Okay, so in that specific situation, it might be a good thing. And then again, a home equity line of credit might be better at First Midwest Bank. That might be better for them altogether. Okay, I just talked to a guy. He had $75,000 of student loans, him and his wife.
Good God.
For their kids. They only owe $20,000 on their mortgage. They were paying $3,000 between the student loans and their mortgage.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, well, you know, what should we do? I'm like, take out a home equity line of credit for their home was worth $400,000. Great credit, great income. Take out a $320,000 home equity line of credit at First Midwest Bank. That's where we refer people to. Take out $95,000 on the first draw to pay off the student loan and the mortgage. It drops the payment under $400. Right? Keep paying in $3,000 and they'll have the thing paid off in about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it doesn't impact their cash flow, but they're paying it down more effectively.
Yeah.
Instead of having $1,400 or $2,000 go to the mortgage and $1,000 to go to student loans. I'm like, just combine it. You know, and the guy was like, well, sweetheart, you know, do you want to leave the mortgage alone? The wife's like, nah, hell with it. Throw it all together. That sounds great. So in about a little over three years, depending upon how much more they pay it off, they'll be completely debt-free, own their home, be student loan-free, out a home equity line of credit. It doesn't cost them anything if they keep it open for 3 years with First Midwest Bank. That's who we send everybody to. And then if they have to back off or have a family emergency or have an expense, they could drop the payment down to the interest-only payment or tap into it if they want to buy something or, you know, an emergency
it's
basis.
It's a nice safety net.
It's a great safety net. It's a phenomenal safety net.
You know that's David Hochberg, right, everybody? Yeah. You can reach David at 312-751-1333. His website is wgndavid.com. If you have any more questions or comments, I see there's more calls. We'll get to those next. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Well, even though his fashion line has been canceled at Nordstrom's, David Hochberg is still here to help you with any questions you might have. 312-981-7200 is our number.
All right, David, shall we do a question for you?
Bring it on, baby.
All right. This is a question from Diane. Diane, David Hochberg.
Hey, Diane.
Good morning. My son is looking to buy a house in the next few months, his first home, and he talked to a real estate agent, and they told him to boost his credit, that he should become an authorized user on mine and my husband's credit cards, even though we won't let him use it. And that will help his credit score. Do you agree?
That'll help it a little bit, but there's other ways to do it that doesn't put you at risk for, you know, Junior going out there and blowing up your credit.
He won't. I won't even give him a card. I'll cut it up when it comes for him.
How's his credit now?
649.
All right. And why is it a 640? I mean, here, you got to look at the cause of the 649. Why? And let's solve the 649 problem. Why does he have a 649? Does he have a lot of credit card debt?
Nope, just past mistakes that he's trying to get out of. When he went to apply for a car loan years ago, he asked for one loan, and for some reason at the bank, like 20 people did credit checks on him, and he took a huge hit. I think that should be against the law.
Well,
that's terrible.
Well, we could write our congressman for that or a woman. So here's what we could do for that, okay? We can look at your son's credit, give him honest and great advice, like I did with Wendy, to get their credit scores up. And there's a couple of different techniques that we have with again, First Midwest Bank with a couple of different products that you and Jimmy used to get your credit scores up and get his credit score up. And I think that's the better way to go than adding him as an authorized user on your account. How's that?
That sounds good. So, and that'll help him by looking for a house by the spring or the summer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's quick things that we could do to enhance his credit. But first, we got to take an X-ray CAT scan. So do me a favor, Diane, shoot me, just call me right now and just tell my assistant that you just talked to me on the radio and I'll call you back when I get off the air, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem. 312-751-1333. We'll take care of you and your son.
Someone wants to know, wouldn't a cash out refi be better than a variable rate home equity loan? And again,
in certain
31
situations,
flavors.
In certain situations, yes. You're not, you know, why take out a, you know, do a cash out refinance when the guy or gal's got a 3.5% loan when they only need $8,000? Okay. It, you know, some people, yeah, that makes sense. And another, if you had a 6%, listen, I just talked to a guy whose parents had a 6.875% first loan and a 4.5% second loan with $45,000 worth of credit card debt. Okay, that makes more sense to do a cash out refinance. It turned into, hey, I want to combine the two loans together. I'm like, do they have any credit card debt? He goes, oh yeah, by the way, we have $45,000 with credit card debt. I said, well, now we take a left instead of a right, and we do a cash out refinance because they want to move in 18 months to a year. I'm like, okay, we'll clean them all up, we'll take care of it, we'll blow it all out, we'll save their payment about $1,000 a month, cover all the closing costs, and away we go. So again, different situations, like Bill's question with the college, with the town, with the house, and with the company that's given money for a down payment, does it make sense? For some people, it makes sense. If this $85,000 only needs $8,000 with a 3.5% loan with rates up a point higher, I don't think that makes sense, in my professional opinion.
We're out of time, but can you at least start this?
Come back
this?
Tomorrow? You want me to come
no.
back at 1?
Can you start no? David's question? Very quickly, David, what is your question for David Hochberg?
Hey, my question is, is there any impact on just turning my house over to the mortgage company? There's very little equity, if anything, in the house, and I'm trying to move within 6 months, and I don't think I'd be able to sell this townhouse. So I was wondering what the implications were for turning the house over to the mortgage company.
Are you having any financial hardships?
I am. I had some medical expenses that I didn't account for. So,
all right. Well, there's a couple of different paths that you could go, David. You could look at bankruptcy is one path, and we deal with Stephen A. Leahy, bankruptcy attorney. That's number one. Number two, we could go with a short sale. We have a team of short sale experts that we work with. Or we could, you could go with the deed in lieu to the bank. But there's steps that you have to take. So if you call me at the office, David, I'll walk you through it. 312-751-1333, and we'll walk you through it. And there's Tony the Tiger crossing Michigan Avenue, by the way. If for some reason, I just saw that out of the corner of my eye.
He wants you to refinance his den.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah.
So, David, did you get that number to call David Hochberg?
312-751-1333, okay?
All right, thanks, David.
All right, buddy, good luck, man. I'll call you later.
See, that's what happens, though, when something like that happens. You don't know what your options are.
Sure, right.
So David is so helpful for that. And
deed
honestly,
in lieu is when you just give the house back, but you can't just give it back. You've got to go through a bunch of different steps, and the banks aren't, you know, nowadays they are because the home values are coming back, but you've got to go through a lot of different steps in order to just hand the house back, or else you're going to completely screw up your credit and destroy yourself if you have a lot of medical debt. But, you know, that's why throughout the bankruptcy, there's, you know, something to look at there. So there's it's not one size fits
right.
all, you know, even though my shoes are a lot more comfortable than Ivanka's. But, you know, you and you could buy them. I have to make shoes first.
All right. Where do people reach you?
WGNDavid.com. WGNDavid.com. The shoe line will drop on January 1st.
And
of
the
next
phone
year.
Number?
312-751-1333. And Bill has volunteered to be a shoe model. 312-751-1333, WGN David. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
Great to see you. We'll take a quick break. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, please understand, we're not questioning you. If you tell us a story
Bill,
in the news,
Bill is questioning you.
I know that it's a legitimate news story. But did you say there was a guy that would just walk onto playgrounds?
Yeah, it's a weird story. It happened in the city where he apparently went into this secured playground and
started pushing kids down.
Yeah, a few kids, right. Ryan was doing that story.
It's a grown man who went onto a playground and just started pushing kids.
He's from St. Louis or something. I heard it reported on earlier today. It just, why? What would possess any grown man to go push kids down?
I can't figure it out. I mean, maybe that's the kind of thing that plays in St. Louis, but this is Illinois, Wendy.
Well, it may well be a guy who's got some issues he's dealing with, too.
Oh, it could be. It could be.
Yeah, because I know a normal, rational person would go, I mean, if you want to be a schoolyard bully, do it when you're in school. Don't wait till you're an adult and come
thinking.
Back.
Maybe he, as a child, had that happen and just something snapped and he went, it's payback time. But we don't allow that.
That is just
That's very
really
strange.
Weird news every day.
Yeah. I have more. Would you like another yes. dose of weird news?
Yes, I would.
All right. I'm going to say a name of a guy to you, and you won't know who I'm talking about until I tell you why he's been in the news for the past couple of years. Does this name seem familiar at all to you? Rodrigo Alves. Do you know who Rodrigo Alves is?
Related to Elvis?
No.
Okay, no.
It's a different Alves. he is the guy that was called in the news for the past 5, 6, 7 years, the human Ken doll.
Oh.
He keeps going in and has like all kinds of plastic surgery so that he will look like a Ken doll.
He doesn't look like Ken.
No.
At all.
Who does he look like? I'm trying to think of who he does look like.
Liberace and...
You know what? To me, it's like a demonic George Michael.
Maybe. I'm seeing like a young Liberace and that guy who married Liza Minnelli.
Oh, Scott Thorson? No, wait. Is it David? Not Scott Thorson.
Guest?
David Guest. Very nice. Very nice.
Boy, look at the things that impress you. I can say something really intelligent.
No, I like this better. No, an obscure celebrity. David Guest to me looked like Pee Wee Herman exploded. No, doesn't he kind of?
A little bit.
He has a Pee Wee Herman quality to him, but like if he just exploded.
Didn't he pass away? Happen.
He did. I think he did, David Guest.
Is this your celebrity report to the nation?
Yeah, this is Marianne and my celebrity report to the nation.
But he doesn't look like Ken. When you look at a Ken doll, Ken is just like this... he looks like your all-American athlete.
Right.
This not what this guy looks like.
He's had over 50 surgeries over the past several years. They don't say in the article. I looked to see. It doesn't say. During a recent appearance on the British talk show This Morning, Rodrigo Alves, a.k.a. the human Ken doll, opened up about the complications of his many plastic surgeries. Now, part one, how could this possibly surprise you? Because if you go in and you have 50 plastic surgeries, there's going to be complications. There has to be.
Yes, I
agree. It's not an exact process.
And 50 of them.
Right.
Gives you room for complications.
One of them gives you room,
right.
But 50. After having 8 nose jobs, he said he's having trouble breathing.
I wonder why.
Right. We're not shocked. In July of last year, I had my nose reconstructed with a piece of cartilage from my ribs, he told the hosts, Iman Holmes and Ruth Langsford. That helped, but I still can't breathe 100%. In total, Alves has undergone more than 50 reconstructive procedures, ranging from a fake six-pack implant. I didn't know you could do that. Did you know you could do that? I'm going to do that.
Do they legitimately put a six-pack in
you?
Yeah,
you get to pick the beer. I'd go Modelo Especial, I think.
All right.
And then they'll build a wall around my stomach.
That makes sense that they can do it, because they would put maybe some collagen in to put, you know, to get one of the ribs of the six-pack.
Yeah.
And then, boy, that's bizarre what they can do.
But that chiseled look, you would think it'd be hard to obtain, but it's you know... I guess they can do it. Ranging from a fake six-pack implant to stem cell injections in his face and hair, the surgeries have cost him nearly $500,000. Money well spent.
That seems like 50 surgeries would be more than $500,000.
Yes. It's $10,000 a surgery. Am I doing the math right? I think. Yeah, it's about $10,000 a surgery. But I don't think your insurance...
No,
this is
not
elective
for
surgery.
Yeah.
You can't. I don't think your insurance would cover this. He says he is able to pay for them thanks to an inheritance that he received from his grandparents. I bet they're thrilled.
Money well spent.
Right. I'm sure that if his grandparents were still with us, if it's an inheritance, it means they're not. I'm positive that they're thrilled that that's where their hard work money is going. And now he says his ability to breathe is increasing. It's getting better somehow. But even if he wanted to, Alves said he couldn't just quit going under the knife. See, that's the thing is, this is obviously an addiction. Yeah,
it happens when you get a tattoo, they say. I have one. I would really like to get some more.
So as soon as you got one, did you say to yourself, this is the kind of thing I want to do regularly?
No, I just liked it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get another one. I'm going to get the tomahawks that the Blackhawks use, that logo.
But there's a difference between accepting it and going, oh, all right, I had one, and I can take the needle, I can take the ink, we'll do another one eventually. This guy's had 50 plastic surgeries in less than a decade.
Yeah, that's too much.
That's way too much. When asked why he continues to get more work done, even when his health is suffering, see, isn't that the purest sign of an addiction?
Yes.
You know it's it's destroying you. He can't breathe, but he keeps going in.
But you know people who are have bulimia or anorexia, mm-hmm. they don't see themselves for what they are. They look in the mirror and still probably say, you know, oh, no.
Fat.
Right. Yeah. So this guy's looking in the mirror going, ah, still not right. The nose isn't right. I need bigger cheekbones.
But I wonder if at some point, you know the lady that they call the cat lady? You've seen that lady, right?
Yeah.
Her face looks like a cat. So do you think she looks at it saying, okay, this is good, but it could be better?
Yeah, look at Joan Rivers, man. She never...
I know.
She had a very unique and pretty look at the very beginning. Her young years, she was really pretty, but very different than your average, you know, movie starlet. But she was a comedian. She was very pretty. She got first surgery, and it's like, wow, she looks much better. But then she kept going, and she didn't look much better.
Right.
She didn't even look like herself.
It's still, for some reason, and I don't know why this has not been perfected yet, because they've been doing these surgeries for decades. You almost always look startled.
And everybody who's had all that work looks like the same. You look cat-like.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't you wait and say... could you text me when people stop looking startled, and then I'll come in and get something done?
But I think they just go too much, and a good plastic surgeon should be able to step in and go, I think we've done enough. Why don't you wait 6 months and live with your new face, see how you feel? But some of them want the business and say, oh, you want another surgery?
That's
sure.
The thing.
Hop right in.
I don't know that they do that. I mean, I'm sure there's some that...
I'm going to become a plastic surgery consultant.
That's
I will be really honest
Wendy,
with
that
would
you. Be great.
And if you say, have I tucked too much? Have I pulled too much? I'd be
right.
Like, you're getting to the point now where you're losing your originality. You're beginning to look like everyone else.
Right.
I think we should take a step back and not do anymore.
Right.
And then they pay me.
I would take it one step further, and I would rent a very scary movie. And during the scariest scene, when you're startled, you just look at them real quick and go, do you want to look like this all the time? Because you will.
You want to be my partner in this?
Yes.
Because people need to be honest and say, I think you've done enough.
Right.
Why don't you live with it for a while?
Right.
And if you really want to do more, go ahead. But
give it some time.
Adjust to it.
This guy, though, this Rodrigo Alves, 50 of them already. He must have a punch card. Maybe after 50, you get a free
nose job.
Yes. All right. Elvis has left the building, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more ahead. If you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Bill. We were talking about the Ken doll, the human Ken doll.
Rodrigo Alves, who has had, so far, 50 plastic surgeries to make himself look like Ken, Barbie's boyfriend Ken. Spoiler alert, didn't work.
No, it didn't. I can top your story.
Oh, I would love to hear that. Please top my story.
Dateline New Delhi. An Indian boy born with four legs and two penises is set to return home after a successful surgery. You going to let that one hang there for a minute?
Yes.
I shouldn't say that.
Yes. So,
oh, I'm so sorry.
All right.
Doctors at Bangalore's Narayani Health City described the complexities of this case to local reporters at a news conference on Thursday. The boy, who has not yet been named.
Well, he has a name, but they're not giving it to the press.
Richard?
And the press continuously doesn't report on these stories, Wendy, and it makes me angry.
Well, see, this is from CNN, and I wonder if
fake
this
news.
Is a fake story.
Fake news.
The boy was born with polymelia. It's a rare congenital birth defect that results in extra limbs or organs, which are usually deformed. These are problems that happen from time to time. The boy's parents gave him permission to discuss this case publicly. Polymelia is a genetic disorder which can be caused by chromosomal abnormalities
yeah.
or environmental agents. The condition can occur when an embryo develops into conjoined twins, and then one twin stops growing but continues to develop extra limbs or organs, which remain attached to the other twin.
And this is called poly...
polymelia.
Wow. How old was this kid?
Did I say?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Because I'm curious as to why they waited. Well, we don't know how old he is. Maybe he was very, very young. Or maybe it's one of those cases where the body has to grow enough before they do a surgery.
Yeah, the procedure required a team of 20 doctors, nurses, and technicians. This took place last week.
Yeah.
The presence of an extra twin made the surgery much more complex.
Hmm.
I don't have the age of this boy, but it's
a
baby.
To the story.
It's a baby.
Oh, it is a baby? All right,
yeah, the
so...
boy after surgery. It took 5 hours and a team of 20 people to remove an extra penis and two extra legs.
Wow.
But God, it's amazing what they could do. The boy was born on January 21st of this year, so
yeah.
baby, in a government-run rural health center in the southern Indian state of Karnataka. Though the birth went smoothly, doctors realized the extra limbs meant the boy would immediately need specialized medical care. He was transported to a local hospital. Then he traveled over 200 miles with his parents to this health city the day after he was born. The journey took a severe toll on the infant. He was admitted on January 24th at 3 days old, dehydrated, needed oxygen. They got him healthy. And as I mentioned, an Indian boy born with four legs and two penises is set to return home after a successful surgery.
I always wonder if your chances are better when there's such a freak thing like that. If they had the money and were able to bring him to the United States, would we have a better chance? Although if he's doing fine, then they did the job there in India, so it's not an issue. But I wouldn't want to be sick in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
There may be cosmetic issues going forward that could require minor procedures, but he will have a normal childhood.
A friend of ours who went to India years ago said he got sick in India. He had food poisoning in India. And he said that in India, all their best doctors have gravitated here. You did not want to get sick. The hospitals in India were kind of substandard because their finest doctors come to the United States. That's
that
quite a
sense.
Story.
Yeah.
So at just 3 days, that's when they did this.
Well, the boy's okay.
Emergency.
It's amazing what
it
you
is.
Can do.
It is.
That's some plastic surgery we weren't thinking about.
No. All right. A break and then some news. And then Dean Richards will join us. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films.
We do.
Then Dean's your guy.
Yes, he is.
Grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard porn.
He might.
That's negotiable. That part's negotiable. Dean Richards is the highly respected and highly decorated film critic over at WGN TV Morning News.
Don't laugh so hard.
Excuse me.
Dean,
excuse
please.
Me. I was eating,
please.
eating a rice cake. And
yeah,
choked.
Sure. That happens. That happens. Dean,
I like how you guys talk during the theme song. It's like those old Barry White songs when the music is going. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Oh, you know what he's going to tell you.
Right? How come I can go lower than both of you?
Yeah, you can. A lot lower.
Two words,
oh,
Paul Mall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're funny.
Hey, Dean, this morning I heard you on with Pete McMurray, who's filling in for Steve, and you were telling the story about your encounter with Deborah Winger, and
right.
Boy, did I feel for you. That, you don't
did
want
you
Deborah
ever
Winger.
Have that with her?
No, I've never met Deborah Winger, but boy... You don't want her mad at you.
I did not expect that from a Deborah Winger. I thought we'd have a nice interview. I'd carry her off the set afterwards to the strains of Up Where We Belong.
Right.
Did not expect that, and I had a similar experience with Meg Ryan,
wow.
America's Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Again, both
not
those
so much.
Surprise me.
Yeah. Everybody has a bad day.
True. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's the healthiest way, right? You just go, something must have happened with them earlier. It's not me, right?
Anybody that doesn't have a bad day, you're a big fat liar.
Bill holds on to the grudges, though, for years.
Well, I do, too.
Yep. I do. You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, ask Mel Gibson. Sure, of course I do.
You have to. But with Mel Gibson, you have since said some very nice things about his work. I've heard you say them.
I said nice things after he called me an a-hole.
Right.
I always said that he was a great actor and a great director.
Just not a very nice person.
I think he was just having, he was going through a tough time.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was part of it. And I happened to be the straw that broke the camel's back, I think.
Can I ask you, conversely, have you ever had somebody that you've heard is a tough interview and you've sat down with them and you go, well, what's everyone talking about? They're really nice.
Yeah, I can't think of a specific, maybe I'll think of one, but. Often when I, I go in and I've heard that people, are, you know, here's Harrison Ford is considered, a lot of people consider him a really difficult person to interview. I have not had anything but pleasant experiences talking with him. He's very friendly. He's funny. He's not, abrasive in any way. Does not standoffish in any way. I think.
Where does that reputation come from,
then? I don't know. I don't know where. I just, I don't know.
Was this pre-Calista Flockhart? Because maybe she softened him up.
Maybe.
I think I've talked to him before that, but I think there's some, you know, I'm going to say a lot of the blame may go with journalists sometimes.
Yeah.
That when you ask stupid questions, don't be surprised when you get a stupid response or, you know, kind of an ignorant response. Do a little homework before you go
right.
in.
Well, somebody in the music world that I heard was a very tough interview, Pete Townsend, was awesome.
Was he nice to you?
He was so nice and charming, and I was really worried he was going to chew me up and spit me out. But
he
no.
didn't.
Uh-uh. Very
he was
nice.
Good. And you know who was for me? In show business circles, they always go, you do not want to sit down with Jerry Lewis. That guy is the
worst.
Well,
we've seen it recently.
Well, recently, but I've
had bad experiences with him, too.
And it was great with you,
I had a great time with him.
You had a great time with him?
Yeah.
Well, see, it must have been, maybe it was just my first name, Dean, set him off.
Right. That could have been it.
He has a history.
Although, Bill, didn't you wear the Nutty Professor outfit when you talked to him?
But that was a coincidence.
Right.
I just happened to have it on that day.
Right.
I wasn't sucking up to him.
And the incredibly offensive Asian-American teeth that he likes to wear.
Yes. Right.
No, Bill just happened to have those in for a completely the other reason.
Right. And I kept saying riboflavin funny just to make him laugh.
Bill found a word that had the most amount of R's in it. Possible.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's going to soften a guy up.
Won him over. That's what it did.
You sit and talk with him. When I had my bad experience with him, I was inundated with people who said, oh, yeah, you think that's something? This is what he did to me.
Oh,
and
no.
I kept hearing a million stories. So, it's, I think we can all take a lesson from whatever Bill did that day. If we ever want to have a nice conversation with Jerry Lewis in the future.
Dean, the video that Wendy's referring to, I'm sure you saw it. He was doing a press junket for a film he did a couple months ago. And
Hollywood Reporter, I believe.
Was it somebody from Hollywood Reporter?
I think so. You can Google it. It's
reputable publication.
Yeah.
They kept asking him questions that were the questions you would ask in that situation about his life and his career and that particular movie. And I don't know how anyone could ever be ruder to an interviewer than Jerry Lewis was that day.
Yeah, he was dismissive and extremely condescending. The guy sounded like, you know, he may not have been the most experienced, but he was, I'm sure there are questions. There were questions that Jerry Lewis has answered a million times. But you know what?
Then don't do the interview.
Don't be. He clearly did not want to be interviewed that day.
What gave you that impression? The fact that he was going.
One word answer.
Yes.
Right.
No.
Yeah. It was. I felt for the interviewer.
I did too.
I just, you know, save everybody some time. Don't even bother to be interviewed if that's how it's going to be.
The highlight of that one, Dean, I don't know if you remember this one, but this was the highlight for me, was the interviewer said, you're in Las Vegas, and the first time you came to Las Vegas was 1947 when you played at, and you mentioned the hotel and everything. And he goes, how has the city of Las Vegas changed from your first trip to Las Vegas in 1947 to today? Jerry's answer, it hasn't.
Oh, everybody knows Las Vegas hasn't changed one bit.
Not a
next
bit.
Question.
It's right. different than it was yesterday.
Yeah, that was great, Bill.
It hasn't changed one bit.
All right, there's a couple
Can I give you just one name while we're on these interviews?
Yeah, please.
Because it was maybe one of the most moving interviews that I've ever done that I did not in any way expect to happen. This past weekend, I interviewed Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Oh, I heard that, Dean.
First time interviewing him since his accident that almost killed him.
Yeah.
He suffered severe brain trauma as a result of it. He's in this movie, Fist Fight, is his first motion picture. And we had one of the funniest interviews. He was hilarious and then got serious and actually broke down crying a little bit.
Yeah.
When he was talking about how he almost died and how what this movie symbolized to him of a comeback and being able to... Never thought he was going to be able to do this after his accident. And it was very moving. I did not think that an interview with Tracy Morgan was going to turn out as absolutely touching and poignant as it wound up being.
Great job with that.
Yeah. He seems to have a new appreciation. Not that he ever lost it, but he seems to have a very big appreciation for just living, doesn't he?
Sure does. I mean, that's what was so obvious in this interview, is that's what he wanted. He was so excited that he got this role, so excited that he was going to get back to work and working with his friends and what it meant to him. And then he talks about how you have to appreciate every day. You have to appreciate it's more than just work. He was clearly got a new perspective on life. But he talked, you know, he broke down when he was saying, "I almost died."
And he lost a friend in that accident as well.
He did. He lost a friend and is still, has trouble walking. But I didn't expect. I've interviewed Tracy Morgan before, and it's kind of fun and it's kind of silly. Just one of the most touching and poignant things that I've ever gone through, which I'll be playing the full interview.
On Sunday?
Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday.
Okay.
When this movie Fist Fight opens. Charlie Day and Ice Cube. Mm. I like talking to Ice Cubes, too.
I love Charlie Day.
I like crushed ice. I like...
Can I say something about...
Slivers. I like snow cones. That's one of my favorite rap groups. Snow cones is my favorite rap group.
Snow cone and the slivers?
Yeah.
The Tracy Morgan, do you guys remember when he came back since his accident, the first time he appeared on SNL to host it, and he came out and did the open and acted like he was having trouble talking, and then he's like, just kidding. So it is such a turnaround, and this is how many years since the accident?
It's been a while. 4 or 5, maybe?
Mm-hmm. And it's just different to hear him react to it now, but I'm sure he thinks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Really, I love him.
Really touching. Really, really sweet. You never know. And as you guys well know, you sit down to do an interview with somebody, you absolutely never know what's going to happen.
True. That's true. All right, let's take a quick break, and then Dean will tell you which movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around for that.
Maybe.
We'll see how
it feels.
You
never know what happens when you talk to somebody. Maybe.
Very unpredictable.
It's maybe when I take my mic and throw it to the ground.
That's fine. It's up to you.
And I go all Deborah Winger on you.
Full on Winger. It'll happen. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Back to Dean.
It's got to stay live. Dean Richards.
You like
is here
it more with... than your My Pillow?
I like my My Pillow
differently. What about the Esotique? You like the Esotique?
Esotique XV.
Also good.
PermaSeal has done a great job waterproofing my basement.
Yep.
1-800 got junk. Took my junk.
Right.
What? Out of my trunk.
What? Are we talking about 50 Shades Darker already?
Yes,
we are.
Got her junk out of her trunk.
Yes,
what?
We are. Let's start out, if it's okay with you, Dean, with Lego Batman, and I'll explain why. About a year and a half ago when the Lego movie came out, and I love Lego, don't get me wrong, but I thought, well, this can't be a movie. They're just plastic bricks.
That's what I said.
And then it was a really good movie, wasn't
it? That's what I said. It was a really funny movie. Because of it didn't take itself seriously. It was witty.
Yeah.
It was funny. The writing was good. And all based on these stupid little plastic things that, you know, for most adults, your only connection with them is when you're, you find them when you're walking around barefoot. So I thought, well, a sequel, you know, this couldn't possibly be good again. And the Lego Batman movie, they've taken the Batman character from the first movie that was voiced by Will Arnett and given him his own follow-up movie, and it's even funnier than the first movie.
Really?
It is so funny, so witty, so clever. The storylines are great. It's, you know, little kids are going to love it for what it is, but if you're a grown-up, and especially if you're a movie fan and a Batman fan, if you followed... any of the Batman movies, if you followed the Adam West TV show.
Yeah.
There is spoofing Palooza going
on. Oh, beautiful. Good.
With all this.
Dean, is it good for a five-year-old?
I think it is.
Okay. Because Ryan dresses like a five-year-old and he goes to movies.
Stop it.
He gets in at half price.
Some of the Batman Lego stuff that he watches is a little advanced for him, but I didn't know if they dumbed it down a little bit for the movie.
I think that, you know, some things are going to completely go over his head. But there's, you know, cartoon adventure, cartoon violence, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's not anything that you wouldn't see in any kind of kids cartoon or animated feature. But I think it works for little kids. I think that really all ages are going to like this. But Batman fans, be prepared for your cowls to explode off of your head. I never laugh out loud. I just don't. I don't know why. I was laughing hysterically.
Wow.
Right? I couldn't
really?
Even breathe with this movie. I loved it.
It's so star-studded, too.
There are all kinds of great names in it. Will Arnett, of course, is Batman. Michael Cera is Robin, the Boy Wonder, in mm-hmm. this movie. I don't even want to give away any of the subplots or anything, because I want everything to wind up being a surprise. Zach Galifianakis is the voice of the Joker, who is mad because he's not the number one villain to Batman. He wants to be his number one. Well, I have a lot of criminals that I'm going for. I like to fight around. I guess I did give away a little bit of
it. Yeah,
it's hysterical.
But it's really funny. A great cast, beautiful animation. The director is from Chicago. He grew up in Libertyville, went to school at Columbia College, and as I found out in my interviews, was a huge Tom Skilling fan.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, that, in my book, makes him the greatest director.
Sure,
move over Steven Spielberg now makes him the greatest director of all time.
Interesting that they'd repair Will Arnett and Michael Cera again, since they worked together on Arrested Development for years. They know each other's moves. That's a good move.
Yeah, interesting, and I wonder how much of that spontaneity is there, because often with these animated movies, the actors aren't even in the same room
right.
while they're doing their...
voiceovers.
Yeah. Will Arnett told me that there was only one scene that he did with another actor, Rosario Dawson, who plays Commissioner Gordon's daughter, Barbara Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted them in the room together to, you know, to get that chemistry together. So I don't even think that Arnett and Michael... were in the same room at the same time while they did their roles. But the Batman / Bruce Wayne, oops, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Robin, dynamic is really great. Really, really funny.
I can't wait to see it. So Dean's List on
Giving it a Dean's
Batman?
List A. Yeah, big old Dean's List A on this one. Loved it.
The sequel to 50 Shades of Grey, this is 50 Shades Darker, also done with Lego bricks.
Did you say
that.
Bricks?
Bricks.
How great would that
yep.
be? Hey, look which piece fits in with this piece. What?
Something for everyone.
What?
How does this?
They can't make anything out of Legos. That's why they're called Leg.
Right.
O's.
Right.
You know, I saw it last night. I'm still processing this whole thing.
Did you like the first one?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see it either. I'm the only woman, I think, who didn't see it or read the book.
I am really puzzled. I mean, this is a relationship between this multi-bazillionaire Christian Grey
mm-hmm.
and a young woman who came to interview him, with whom he became infatuated. They went through all kind of weird sadomasochistic things in the first movie, and she wound up leaving him. This movie opens; it's in the trailer, so I don't think I'm giving anything away here. But he just can't live without her, as it turns out. What's the good of having a whip if you don't have someone to use it on?
That's so true.
I guess is the would be the thinking there.
I want a bumper sticker that says that.
I'm going to have a pillow needle pointed for you with that on it. Bumper sticker is not good enough. So he wants her back. She reluctantly takes him back. They kind of rekindle their relationship again. I'm not sure. I think if I was a woman watching this movie, I would feel a little insulted. It feels degrading that the core of this relationship is I mean, it's mutually consented in this relationship.
Yeah.
But it seems abusive, and it just doesn't – I don't get the whole pain, you know, inflicting pain on somebody to show them that you care for them thing.
But there are people like that.
There are people like that. Yeah. I get that. So, I mean, that's the part, I guess – that's why I'm a little bit conflicted, because it seems disrespectful to me to women. Yet I'm in this theater mostly filled with women who are giggling and awing, and as they were walking out of this theater, say how much they liked it, and they would have liked to have been her, and if anything, I'll say that this movie is less dark than the first one.
That's good.
It's a little more these two people. Jamie Dornan and Dakota Fanning seem to be enjoying their relationship this time.
Yeah.
So I guess it seemed a little more pleasant.
All right.
I'm definitely not the target for this movie.
Dean's list on this Dean?
I'm giving it a C just because I can't decide.
Right.
I didn't hate it. I definitely didn't hate it. And I didn't like it, so I guess it's
hard to recommend.
Sort of neutral. I guess if you like the first one, you're gonna like this one. I guess
that's
I got to think about it a little more. You know what it is? I can't concentrate with these nipple clips.
No, I understand. Believe
me,
throwing the whole
thing off
a little bit.
So Lego Batman an A, and the new 50 Shades movie Spanks for the Memories, that gets a C.
That gets a C. And the other movie that's opening this weekend is John Wick 2. Keanu Reeves is back.
Love him.
Basically the same as that first John Wick movie that I loved. It's nothing but mindless violence.
Yeah.
And it's really fun, and it's really fun to see Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne together again since The Matrix, first time since The Matrix. They have a very short scene, but it's really fun and meaty, and I'm giving that one a B+.
Excellent. Dean, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. Second half of our Thursday show. Want to be a part of it? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? We're at 312-981-7200. Boy, we'd be happy to hear from you.
I feel like dancing.
That song makes you want to dance, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
Who is this, Ella?
They're called Caravan Palace.
I like it.
It's all over the place, isn't it?
She didn't dip into the Kevin file there, did she?
Ella no. brought her own music
all
from
right.
the house.
Very good.
We should say Kevin Richter has taken a sick day. He felt like crap yesterday.
Bad too, didn't he? You knew he was falling apart. You could look at him and just go, this guy's falling apart at the seams.
He had sick eyes. You know what that is? Remember when your kids got sick or if Terry's sick?
Kind of watery. Distant.
Well, that's every day.
Right,
your wife.
More watery and more distant.
And his hair was slightly off, too.
His
I don't know if you guys saw
it.
I know.
Yesterday.
So Ella
That's why he took the day
in.
Off. It's more, I think it's more based on how
bad hair
his,
day?
Yeah, he took a bad hair day.
That's so typical of him.
You're allowed, and God bless the Tribune for coming up with this, every year you get 3 bad hair days. It's part of your package. So he took one of them today, and Ella is filling in. And she taught you a word in Turkish.
Oh, boy.
Can you share this with everybody? You learned a word. You learned a new word today. It's actually, it's
like a
it's
question.
A series
like,
of, it's
what
a phrase.
Was that?
Right.
Nadu? Nado?
Elif, was that right?
Say, you say it.
Nado.
Nado.
And what does that mean? What is this? What goes on here, right?
Elif, we need your help. I don't remember.
It means, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, what was I going to say?
All right, say it one more time.
Nado.
Nado.
Nando.
It sounds exactly
right.
Like
you're not
it.
Saying it right at all.
You say it.
I don't.
Nado.
Elif, that's not correct, is it?
It sounds like NATO, NATO.
Right.
NATO.
Like the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah, that was perfect.
NATO.
That's excellent. You now speak Turkish.
NATO.
This is great.
Press 1
right,
for NATO.
Press 2 for Moroccan. Press 3.
Well, thank you for teaching
that's
me that.
That's
You're
a valuable
welcome.
Skill. You're learning a language now.
NATO?
I wanted so badly, a couple years ago, I had this game plan where
you could get
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, you could learn. All right, so I thought, I'm not going to tell my family. I'm just going to learn to speak Japanese in the car. Like, I'll get the discs, and I'll put them in the car, and I will learn to speak Japanese. And then one
Konnichiwa.
Day. Yeah, I would say things like that.
Nedo.
That's not Japanese at all. That's Turkish.
All right, so
you're not going to be allowed in the UN because you're going to offend every nation at the UN, so they won't let you in.
First of all, were you astounded at how expensive the Rosetta Stone was?
I didn't even get that far.
Okay, because it's a lot of money.
Like, how much would it be?
Hundreds.
Would it be? But you know what? If it works, that's worth it. But I thought, wouldn't that be cool to just covertly not say a word?
You didn't even buy. How far did you get?
His thought bubble.
I swear, like, for a month, I'm going, instead of just driving around listening to, you know, what I usually listen
Hall
to.
Hall & Oates.
It's not all Hall & Oates, but a lot of it is Hall & Oates. But I could learn the Japanese language, and then one day we'll just be somewhere, we'll be in a restaurant or something, and I'll just speak in Japanese, and my family will be like, wait, what?
That was a great plan.
Yeah, but
poorly
then,
executed.
Terribly executed, because then the realization set in that it would just be frustrating. Because you do, I mean, I hate to say this, but after you're not in school for a while, I think your learning skills just become almost invisible.
Well, no, you are able to learn at any time. It's just once you get out of school, you're like, God, glad that's over with.
Right.
So it's too much work.
Right. Still, I should have done it. Wouldn't that be
great
to have that?
It's not too late, Bill. Don't you love when people say, oh, you know, it's too late for me to get into acting? I mean, you know, I'm 50-some years old.
Right.
And it's like, well, how old would you be anyway, 50-something years old? So what's the difference?
Except for some reason, when your brain hasn't been fully molded yet, you just pick stuff up easier. You know,
well, kids, that's why they teach foreign languages now in like first grade.
They pick it up like it's nothing. They just pick it up so easily. But I do. I have to say, I do regret that. I wish I had learned that and to play the piano.
Again, not too late.
I don't know if I could commit now. Back when I was a kid, I would have done it in a minute.
Didn't your mom make you take piano lessons?
No, my brother took them. And he's a really good piano player. He's very good.
It's not too. I'm going to start taking drum lessons.
Are you really?
I think so. We bought a drum kit for Dylan, who is my younger son, and he played for a little bit, but he now wants to play the banjo.
Yeah.
And my older son, Michael, says to Dylan, no girl is ever going to go after you because you play or no girl ever likes a banjo player. And Dylan just said, they don't now, but wait.
Oh, that's a good attitude. That's very smart.
But the banjo? I mean, it is cool, but...
I guess it doesn't have the gravitas that the guitar has, you know? But maybe at the end of a performance, if you just started smashing the banjo,
no.
Maybe that would change the game.
Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, he's a great banjo player.
Yeah. Maynard Thumb Twanger.
You're so mean.
Remember him?
Nope. But I may take drums because we have a drum kit in the basement, and I took two lessons.
Who would you take lessons from?
Liz Berg, who's a musician, and she taught my kids how to play guitar. She teaches piano too. She comes to your house.
All right.
Do you have a piano?
She'll do. No.
She was not going to bring a piano.
If we can work out a deal where she'll bring a Steinway to the house, then I'm in. We don't have a piano though.
I got to see if she teaches banjo lessons. But I took vocal lessons. I wish I would have done that. I was out with some girlfriends last night, and two of them I've known since sixth grade and one since freshman year.
Yeah.
And we're out just at this bar having pizza and playing darts and rocking out to the jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
And we started saying, you know, would you do this? If you could live your life over again, would you do it over?
Yeah.
And they're all going, yeah. I said, really? I don't know that I would. And then when I thought about it, I really would.
Did you question about your life that you wouldn't do over again?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, but you just said that you
But
don't
then when I thought about it, it's like I would have been in choir in high school. I would have been in theater.
Oh, I see the missing moments,
right.
The stuff you had the
like,
chance.
If you know now what you knew that or knew then what you know now, it's like I totally would have done. I would have been in the AV club. I like gadgets.
All right, so this would have been 7th grade. I got a guitar for Christmas. My parents got me a guitar.
Rock on,
dude. Because I wanted to play the guitar, just an acoustic guitar, not an electric, but that's where you start, right?
Right.
All right. So I grew up in Oak Forest, and the next town over, Tinley Park, had the Bremen Town Mall, and there was a music shop in there that taught every, like, whatever kind of musical instrument you wanted to learn, somebody at this music shop taught it at some point during the week. So I started going in for guitar lessons, and the guy who taught me was in a band. And every week, the entire hour of my guitar lesson was him showing me songs that his band was playing.
So he never even really gave you a chance to play. It's like,
nope.
This is how you play guitar, and then he proceeded to play guitar.
Yeah.
Without teaching you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good teacher.
That's like the worst you could possibly do. And I took him.
Was it Ted Nugent?
I'm not going to say I'm there, but yeah, it was Ted Nugent. But he'd go, yeah, there's this one song. There's this girl, Maureen, I met a couple years ago, and the song goes like this. And he would just play the song, and I'd be holding my guitar and looking at him. And then once in a while, I'd go, shouldn't I? And he goes, these are called frets. Anyway, and then he'd go right back to the music. And I'd go, at the end of 5 months, I said to my parents, I don't want to play the guitar anymore. Why would you after that? It was a terrible experience.
Why didn't you think to at least try one more teacher?
That would have been, well, because then, like I said, I was in seventh grade, so I'm like, is this how music lessons are? Like, wherever you go, is that what you do? You're treated to the music of whoever your teacher is?
My guitar teacher made me cry.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, and I was terrible, and I bought a book that was for the piano, and he just, you know, went off on me. No, he didn't go off on me.
But he made you cry?
Well, he didn't mean to. He felt terrible after he did it, but I was, you know, a soft-hearted, impressionable kid, and He said, you'll never play it now.
Oh, no. No.
You don't say that.
No, he's just like, well, why did you buy this book? This book isn't right for you. And, you know, I never really was practiced enough to enjoy it. And
that's terrible.
I just broke down.
See, that's what I don't get. I mean, I took piano lessons. I took guitar lessons.
Yeah.
I played the flute for a while.
Did you? Yeah.
I was in the choirs in junior high. I mean, I should be a one-man band.
You should be.
And I talk about a failed musician, and you're looking at her.
Oh.
I just never, it was difficult for me. It's like you have to get, you know, your fingers hurt from playing guitar because
right.
you have
right.
to build up the calluses. And it's like, oh, and then when you have the calluses, you're like, oh, I don't like the feel of calluses on my finger.
Yeah.
That's why I am blown away by my son, Michael, who started with the upright bass in junior high and then moved to the electric bass. And then said, I don't want to be in the back where no one sees me. I want to be the front man and guitar
right.
player. So he takes guitar lessons here and there, but he listens to stuff and can just kind of follow along and teach himself
that's
how to
amazing.
Do it.
And what else is amazing to me anyway is people who learn an instrument or two and then just pick up any musical instrument and know how to do it because they've learned how to play one or two. I can't figure that out for anything.
He taught himself how to play the harmonica and is pretty proficient at it.
That's what I mean.
He's learning how to play. We have this Hammond organ that my friend Camille gave us, and he's picked up where he can play. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Part of the college he wants to go to, you have to take this music test where you listen to music and you have to say what key it's in. I'm like, you can do that?
He
goes, yeah.
That's not easy.
That's a true musician, though. I sucked. Every good boy does fine was the one.
I remember that, the scale you'd learn.
And face was in between F, A, C, and E, so you can read. I can't really read music.
Yeah.
I can't even sing along in church.
Ah. You're making Steve cry.
I'm a failed musician. I'm going to make myself cry.
You're making Steve cry.
Hurts a little bit.
We'll be all right. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Can I just quickly read you a text? We have a whole bunch of people who want to weigh in on this on the phones. We're talking about musical prowess and people who can just play musical instruments. Here's one from 949. Wendy, women melt for banjo players. Check out how dreamy Sufjan Stevens
is. Oh, Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan. Is that Turkish?
Nedo.
I don't know who he is, but I Googled him. I took a look at him. That's a handsome-looking guy, I guess.
He's all right.
Yeah?
He's a great musician,
How
though.
Did you know of his work? I've never heard of him.
Because I'm hip and happening. My nephew's kind of into Sufjan Stevens.
What is that? Where's that name from? I don't know anyone with that name.
Not here.
No.
Yes. I don't know. Banjo players. It's a great instrument. I mean, Glenn Campbell played a lot of banjo.
That's right.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Grandpa Jones.
Hi. Grandpa Jones on Hee Haw.
Steve Martin. See? I like Roy
the
Clark.
The Smothers Brothers.
Obviously, you guys don't listen to any current bluegrass music, do you?
Not enough.
Wasn't Earl Scruggs a great
Earl
banjo
Scruggs.
Player?
Yes.
The Beverly Hillbillies theme?
Yeah.
Greg Hahn was good.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to tell you that if your son can pull notes out of the air like that and know what they are, he might have perfect pitch, and that's wonderful. That's
how do you get that?
God, right there. You just get it. I mean, I think it's in your DNA. You either have it or you don't. You can learn how to be a technically proficient musician, but to have perfect pitch, you're born with it.
How do you know all this?
My mom teaches piano.
Elizabeth?
My mother teaches piano.
Will she teach Bill?
Yeah, 95. She has 3 students.
Does she really?
Oh, my God.
That's excellent.
Yes, she does. It is excellent, and it's what keeps her going, honestly. And they're all adults, so take piano lessons as an adult. It's fine.
Yeah, I will.
Come on, I envision you playing the whole soundtrack from The Sting.
Yeah, all Scott Joplin stuff.
Yes.
I could do that for you. All right.
Well, I got to warn you, ragtime is tough. That jump rhythm, there's a real skill there. But, yeah, start taking it. What the heck, you know? I mean,
all right.
What do you have to lose?
That's true. All right, well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, says the woman who's afraid to sing in front of people, you know, at 61, but, you know.
Yeah.
I have good advice, but I don't follow it. And, you know, I got to tell you guys, I love listening to you guys because you're not like professional radio people. You're just people talking.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's very nice of you.
I like that. I really like that a lot.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Tell your mom we said hi.
I will.
All right.
All right, thank you, Elizabeth.
Just a word to your mother.
Just say word.
That's the only time I could have said that phrase, and I blew it.
Here is an interesting tale from Steve. Hi, listener Steve. How are you?
Hi. Listen, big fan of you guys. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
It's kind of ironic. Your other Steve, I took guitar lessons when I was in fourth grade, and he made me cry, and he said, he actually used the word, I sucked.
He did not. Steve Bertrand doesn't have that in his vocabulary.
No. My instructor told me that.
Right. He said Steve Bertrand.
Sorry.
No, like he made me cry, and he said you'll never amount to anything with your hands. And the ironic thing was I became a surgeon, so I thought that was kind of crazy.
Oh, my God. Did you call that teacher up and say neener, neener, neener?
No. No, I mean, I was in fourth grade.
But you want him to know he was wrong, don't you? I would want him to know.
What's his name? We'll call him on the air and you can tell him.
John.
No, don't do it.
Don't do it.
But look at you. So you became a surgeon to replace your guitar dream. How about that?
Yeah.
That's excellent. That's payoff.
But the sad thing is every time I wanted to try the guitar, he scarred me. I don't want to do it, so I just stayed away from it. I own like 4 guitars, but I just sit there. I just kind of look at it.
That's sad.
Pick it up again.
Don't give
Steve.
Up on it.
Oh, but I can I do something real quick? I think you guys are the last caller. You guys are really down to earth and straightforward, and you guys are my favorite duo. So,
Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the week.
Have a good day.
All right, take care. What?
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Are we sick? Everyone's being really nice to us.
No, but I love what Elizabeth said. That's probably we should use this in a promo. We should flag this because it's like, you know what I love about you guys? You're not professional broadcasters.
Well, she's right. She's absolutely right. All right, we must take a break.
We just have a different style.
Yeah, that's what it is. Can I just read, by the way? You're listening to VH1. Did I just read that?
Behind the Music.
Blondie just has announced a big tour for the summer.
The Blondie Band?
Blondie and some other band of that era are getting together and doing some big tour.
I think it's Tommy Two Tone.
No.
It's not Tommy Two Tone. It's not Tommy Two Tone. But put that through your Google and see what it comes up with.
I just saw Debbie Harry solo. I don't think she's. The Blondie Band was together, but at House of Blues, she was unreal.
I'm not surprised.
I mean,
I like her a lot.
Unreal. Blondie tour.
Yeah, she was.
Garbage?
Yes. Shirley Manson, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Yep.
They just announced a bunch of dates.
Blondie and Garbage announce co-headlining Rage and Rapture tour.
I'm in. I promised before Steve's news that we would introduce you to what I think may be the most deplorable person on television right now. About a month ago, and I've kept up on this story. We've not talked about it on the air at all because I have to be honest, I feel sorry for this person, but then the more she becomes newsworthy, the less sorry for her I feel.
I know what you mean.
It's a girl named Danielle Brignoli. Danielle Brignoli. And she appeared as a guest on Dr. Phil's show about a month ago, in the middle of January. And she has become something of a sensation because...
Boy, anybody can be a YouTube star and an internet star. Isn't that true?
That's very true. She has a very unique style of speaking, as you're about to find out, because we'll play a clip of her appearance on Dr. Phil. And she's in the news again. So she just did something that you're not supposed to do, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. But she makes an appearance on Dr. Phil, and the reason is she's 13 years old. Danielle is 13 years old. Her mom doesn't know what to do because Danielle has a knack for stealing cars. She just likes to go out and steal cars. So Danielle and her mom appeared with Dr. Phil as they try to get to the bottom of what the problem is. Now, I didn't include in this little snippet, as they will do on Dr. Phil, they give you like a background video where you get to meet her and her surroundings. So they show her at home. They have to, as Danielle is speaking, they have to close caption it because she speaks in such a strange manner that you can't understand her a lot of the time. And as you'll hear in just a moment, she gets into a little bit of a scuffle with the audience because the audience, there's some disdain for her. The audience keeps kind of reacting to the things she says, and then she challenges the audience. She wants to go out and fight the audience.
And Dr. Phil loves it, by the way, because if he really wanted to help her and this mom is desperate because doesn't know what to do with a 13-year-old kid who steals cars,
yeah.
You know what? Offer to help her free and off the air. But no, this is something that he enjoys as well because it's quite a spectacle.
Yeah. Let's play a little bit of it. We can stop this at any time. And actually, we will because you start to feel sick to your stomach. I know a lot of people have kids, and you at some point you come to a crossroads where you go, well, they've done something, and I don't know what to do. But I can't imagine living with this kid on a daily basis because she does everything wrong. Listen to a little bit. This is Danielle Brignoli from last month's appearance on Dr. Phil's show.
So tell me what you think you're doing that contributes to this chaos and this problem.
I don't behave disrespectful. I steal cars. I steal her credit card. I ain't gonna lie. There's no reason to lie. Everybody know already. Like,
what do you say to yourself that gives you the right to take somebody else's car?
I'm talking to be sliding. You mean that's what makes me want to take the next bitch car?
What?
What now? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Are you speaking English? Do you have an accent of some sort?
Tell them where it comes from. You know.
From the street.
Oh.
It comes from the street.
She speaks the language of the street, yeah.
Tell me again, what is it you say to yourself that gives you the right to take somebody else's car?
I don't say anything to myself. I just say, all right, there's a car. There's some keys right in front of me. I know where the car at.
You know where the car at. Did you go to the fifth grade?
Wait, Ella, stop it right there.
He's a jerk.
I know what you're going to say. That was a low blow.
He should not be making fun of her. This is a serious problem.
Right.
And can I just say one thing and we can continue?
Yeah, sure.
You know, you always want your kids to do what's right. And when something goes wrong... I have been there at times where, as a mom, sometimes you don't know what to do and you turn to professionals for help and you're exasperated and you cry. You don't make light of it. You don't joke around. Like, the mom is kind of joking around with her. When Dr. Phil said, do you have an accent? And the mom goes, tell them where it's from.
Right.
And then she's like, well, it's from the street.
Yeah.
The mom is not... at the end of her rope, it doesn't appear.
If you watch the whole, I watched the whole hour.
Why?
Because I don't know how to feel about this kid. Outwardly, you see this kid and you just say to yourself.
How does that happen?
Right.
How does that
what
happen?
What got this kid to this point? And I feel for the mom so much because I don't know what I would do. My first inclination would be, as much as I would love my own kid, I would just go, I can't deal with you on a day. You're going out and you're stealing cars. That's a felony. Now, I don't think she can be charged for a felony because she's only 13 years old. But if she's 16 and stealing cars, you can charge that kid with a felony.
Why can't you? But you could still have her arrested, can't you?
Yeah, she's been arrested. It's not a felony because she's underage. She's 13.
I'm telling you, if you watch this and you see the mom, that is not... And listen, I'm the first person to say you can't blame parents for everything, because sometimes you have parents that try more than anything in the world and they still have a kid like that, which makes me think this kid has some mental issues that are not being addressed. But this mom, Bill, she did not look like a hopeless, helpless mom who doesn't know what to do.
If you see the whole hour, you'll get
she
more
does
of
break
that.
Down
yeah,
at the end.
Because you can just see, like, in her mind, she's done everything. And I don't know what that means, but you can just see it in her eyes. Like, I don't know what to do now. You know, I'm out of options with this kid. And the kid, Danielle, thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. She just, like, every time
I know,
they ask
her
a question,
giggling.
Even when Dr. Phil calls her out and goes, hey, I'm sorry, you went to the fifth grade. You can just hear, as you'll hear in a little bit, she explains, no, it's not the fifth grade. Here, let's pick it up. Let's do a little bit more if we can, Ellis.
I'm asking, how far did you go?
Well, I stopped at seventh, if you want to get technical.
You stopped at the seventh grade?
Mm-hmm.
So you did go through the fifth grade?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Wait, stop it. She doesn't go to school?
Okay.
No, she no longer goes to school. She stopped at seventh grade.
Right. Don't truant officers get in? Are there still truant officers out there?
Yeah, you're supposed
to. You can't drop out of school at 13?
Right. I know that. Believe me.
At 16, you can and you shouldn't. But at 13.
But this is one of the things the mom is like, I can't get her to go to school. All she wants to do is hang out with friends and
do her friends
steal
go to
cars.
School? Obviously not.
I don't think they do.
She's hanging with the wrong crowd, Bill.
Why didn't you call Dr. Phil and tell him this?
Because he's too busy making jokes about her.
You could hear when he says, what are you, in the fifth grade or something like that? The audience first goes, boo, and then they think about it and they go, yeah, all right. I'm kind of with you on that one. They totally do an about face.
That's not a professional doctor saying something like that.
I'm
That's
not comfortable
a TV
with
personality.
Him. I know.
He's a jerk.
He could have handled that more delicately.
Absolutely.
He could have. All right. There's more ahead. We'll delve more into Danielle Bregoli, a media sweetheart for her work on the Dr. Phil show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We ain't got no nothing about you. I'm the fifth grade.
Danielle Bregoli is the girl we're talking about. She has been deemed the Cash Me Outside girl. What does that mean? You'll find out in just a little bit. She made an appearance on the Dr. Phil show about a month ago and just got into a little bit of an altercation on Tuesday evening. We'll tell you about that in just a little bit. But let's go back to her visit with her mom, her exasperated mom, on the Dr. Phil show as Dr. Phil gets to the bottom of why she feels the need at the age of 13 to keep stealing cars.
Okay, so you just take it and you don't consider that it belongs to someone else.
No. Your keys in my room, you asking for it. You don't leave your keys in someone's room when they've stolen cars before. Like, you asking for it.
You're asking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you have to realize
what
Wendy,
do you think is going.
You have to realize if somebody leaves their keys out and they know that Danielle's in the neighborhood and she has a history of stealing cars, you're asking her
they
to steal
your
car.
They just asking for it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Going to happen when you happen to steal somebody's car that disagrees with that and decides that they're going to drop a hammer on you and prosecute you to the full extent of the
then
law.
Then I do my time in jail. Jail ain't nothing. That's what I always do, and they never catch me. Ain't nobody going to catch me.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup.
Yup.
And all these hoes laughing like something funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep.
What are they clapping for? Because they are?
Because they're hoes. Yeah. Dr. Phil every Wednesday fills the audience with prostitutes. And no one's supposed to know that. But Danielle figured it out. So, yeah. So that's where we stand right now. She gets angry because some members of the audience found her to be amusing. And she's angry that the hoes in the audience are laughing at her.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Catch her outside and she'll go outside and do what she has to do.
her mom is now not just a mom, but she's also like a Danielle to Earth translator, because she has been around Danielle enough to know that when Danielle says, "Cash me outside, how about that?" that means...
It sounds really funny when
catch
you say
me
it.
Outside. How about that? She wants to fight the... She will fight the audience, the hoes in the audience, after the show.
There, the mom's starting to sound a little exasperated. But again, why... I cannot see where you would bring this on public television.
I understand
Not public
that.
Television, but for all to see.
Right.
You get Deal a with therapist, you get a psychiatrist, you get this kid evaluated.
Yeah.
Because half of me, as a mom, feels really sorry for this kid that... Something is not right with this child.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I know. I know.
And then why aren't people pressing charges of her stealing a car?
I think they can only go so far because of her age, because she's 13.
But what about kids that go to those Audi homes or whatever?
Juvie homes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you steal an Audi, you go to an Audi home. You know that. Yeah. You know how the law works.
That's why I never stole an Audi.
I'm not Rich Linkoff.
I haven't any.
But... All right, here's a little more of the delightful Danielle and her mom.
Oh, yeah, this yeah, is okay, all, yeah. This is all, but don't you see that this is all mouth? This is mouth.
Oh,
so you want to take this outside? Because I think they can bring cameras outside. Really? Because I think I flipped you. You want to do it again? Danny, don't get all tough. Please don't. This is not the place,
hey,
and this is not
sit
the time.
Down.
Now,
sit
at this
down.
Point, all right, Dan. At this point, sit Danielle, all of Danielle stands up and confronts her mom. She walks over because she wants to fight with her mom, because her mom is trying to make sense of this.
But I want to know how these two are at home, because when you have an audience and she's getting all this applause and groans, whatever it is,
right.
She's just embellishing even more. This is not the right situation to help this girl.
I don't know that
or
it
the
is.
Mom.
No, because now she's a superstar. Everyone in the country knows who she is. So is that in this kid's best interest to be famous for this?
Phil, we got to take this call.
All right.
Ted?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Not too bad, except that if this is just me speaking, and it won't happen in this day and age. But if I would have been acting like that and carrying on and stealing cars like that, you wouldn't have to worry about the Audi home. I would have never been able to go back to my own home, because my father would have taken care of business.
They don't mention the dad at all in this episode. I don't know what's become of the dad.
I don't know that there is a dad.
But you're right. Yeah. At some point, a parent would just say, enough is enough.
But this girl, it looks like you're saying enough is enough, and this girl doesn't care.
Right.
That's what I mean. Where
like they ramped it up.
Exactly. That's why this girl has to go to a youth home or, first of all, a doctor.
Right.
I'm not kidding. This is not normal behavior.
I know.
Yeah. And the fact that that being on Dr. Phil, of all things. I don't know. If I was you, Bill, I would have been gone in 60 seconds.
He watched the whole hour. What is wrong with him?
I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah. Well, that would have been 60 times. You could have been gone in 60 seconds.
No, I know. I know. Good call. Ted, thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
You bet.
I'll go on.
Well, we've got news coming up, but you wanted to mention the other half of this story.
Yeah, the other half of the story is this. On Tuesday night, Danielle and her mom were boarding a Spirit Airlines flight out of Los Angeles.
Were they coming home from this, Dr. Phil, or is this later?
No, because that had shot a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Although, here's a surprise bonus to the whole story. The Dr. Phil show was anxious to have Danielle and her mom back on, and they're scheduling another visit for them. Because I'm telling you, of all the guests Dr. Phil's had, she's gotten the most attention. People love to hate this kid and her mom. So they're scheduled to be back on in the next few weeks. But they're on a flight, a Spirit Airline flight out of Los Angeles, and her mom got into a dispute with another passenger, a woman on the plane. And it says here, we've been told that Danielle's mother was struggling to put her carry-on bag in the overhead because she is wearing a walking cast. She has an injured foot. And the weight wasn't sitting well with a third party. There was some other woman behind them trying to hurry them up as she's putting the bag into the overhead. So Danielle says the other woman put her hands on her mom's neck, and that she, Danielle, then had to cold cock the other passenger.
All right, this is the only time I agree with Danielle. You don't wrap your arms around your mom's neck.
Except that other people on the flight can't.
I'm kidding.
They, you know. All right, so Danielle punches the woman. And the woman made a citizen's arrest.
Citizen's arrest. You always have to say it like that, Bill.
Like
come
Barney
on,
Fife.
Yes.
Right.
A short time later, police arrived and took all three off the plane. And there is some video of the aftermath of this as they're punching each other. And it's not pretty.
That's disgusting. But it's, you know, listen, this woman should have not touched Danielle's mom.
If she touched Danielle's mom.
Oh, we don't know that.
Yeah. The other people on the plane are being a little gray as to exactly how much physical contact there was.
And I'm not saying you go cold cock someone if someone touches your mother.
No.
But I certainly would have said something like, get your hands off my mom, please.
Would you have said to cash me outside? That's what I would have said.
I will now.
Let's make that the phrase that pays.
All right.
So that's the tale of Danielle Bregnoli, TV's most despicable person. We'll take a quick break and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Steve, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a brother.
Are you
Scott.
Older or younger?
I'm older.
And wiser?
He might be wiser.
Oh.
See, I don't like the study that came out. So you're the oldest sibling?
Yes, I'm the older.
Bill, you're the oldest in your family.
I am, yeah.
I'm the youngest, so I do not agree with the study that came out. But new research says firstborn children really are smarter.
Oh, it's true.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
It's 100% true.
Until this study was just revealed to Steve Bertrand, you said that your brother might be smarter.
I'm a nice guy.
Always looking out for the little brother.
Right.
All right. Well, researchers at the University of Edinburgh found that firstborn children have higher IQ scores than their youthful counterparts as early as their first birthday.
That's
I don't
easy
believe
to understand.
Any of these studies.
Because why?
Because she's the youngest.
Youngest, you're more skeptical.
Right. Or she's too thick to understand it.
No, but your mileage may vary for every family.
Right. It's not 100% foolproof, but probably 99.3% or 4% of the time it is.
I mean, there's a slight chance I'm not smarter than my brother. Very small.
I don't know your brother, Steve, but I can't see that.
It's possible.
You guys, can I give a reason why that might be
sure.
true?
Yeah.
Because the firstborn gets all the parents' attention because it's the first time everything happened. I'm not saying which of my kids is smarter because which is smarter.
You're
Damn
not
it.
The oldest. Are
there you go. How many kids ahead of you there, Wendy?
I have two kids. They're both really smart.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, your firstborn, everything is new. Everything is fresh. Everything
right.
is very exciting. You spend more time. Can you say da-da?
Right.
You spend more time with the firstborn than you do with the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth.
I don't know if parents do this anymore, but when I was a baby, we had a baby book that had everything I did every minute of every day. Anytime I would do something for the first time it was mentioned or the second time,
mm-hmm.
every new experience is mentioned. In my brother's baby book, it says, Adam loves spaghetti. And that's it.
Because
there's
it's not
else
new.
In there.
It's not new anymore. The first time I was pregnant, it was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I feel great. I love it. I can't believe I'm going to give birth. And then the second time it was just like, oh my God, can this be over with? I just want to meet this baby.
Okay, I should know this, but I don't. I mean, being the older child, is IQ not completely natural? I mean, can you improve your IQ?
I
don't think it's an innate thing, is it? Isn't it just life's experiences?
No, that's what I mean. Are you born with it or do you grow it? I don't know.
I'm not 100%
sure.
Spoken
like a firstborn.
Isn't that funny?
No, but firstborns, we're smart enough to know if you don't know something, don't commit to it. Like if you and I were middle children, we would go, oh, absolutely.
Right.
Or younger children, we'd go, I don't understand the question. What does the question mean?
Or the youngest children would say, oh, your mom likes you more.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, like Wendy just did.
Yeah.
We have to find ways to get attention too, okay? Because by the time the third one comes,
that's
no one cares.
That's true, right?
Yeah, why do you think I like the limelight so much?
But don't you think everybody always says it's the middle children that really have the battle? Because the youngest ones are always the babies their whole life.
We're treated like babies, therefore we are babies.
Right.
I get it.
And the oldest are just so smart. I mean, there's nothing you can do. But the middle kid has to struggle just to keep afloat, kind of. I get that.
Well, I think middle kids are not the smartest, but they're the most manipulative, maybe. Because they really do have to work things in both directions,
right.
trying to get attention.
Right, right.
I don't know if manipulative is the right word. I don't know if IQ is something that you're born with or that you learn. I'm at IQexperts.com.
Oh, yeah. That's my homepage.
I'm always on there.
IQ is a measure of relative intelligence, which is determined by a single or set of standardized tests.
We know that, but the good question, Steve's question is, can it be added to or I guess subtracted from?
I know. I haven't gotten to that part yet. Education is the knowledge and acquired by learning and instruction over a period of time. What's the difference? Drawing a comparison between the two, one comes across monumental differences. On the one hand, there's education, which is a skill set that can be acquired to or gained, while IQ is believed to be an innate quality present from birth.
So
IQ scores have been shown to be associated with such factors as morbidity and mortality, parental social status, and to a substantial degree, parental IQ. Huh. And I also have learned that kids get their smarts from their mother. Yeah, I read that too.
Why would that be?
Because we give birth to them.
Oh.
So if you want, if you're looking for a wife and you want smart kids, you should go for the oldest child wife?
Yes.
Right? You don't want to go for the youngest of six?
The firstborn woman. Right?
Boy, you talk about being picky on Tinder, like what she looks like right. Where she lives.
Swipe.
Yeah. You must be the firstborn female in your family or I'm out. That's it. Can't you, though, when you're... All right, let's say you've met somebody for the first time and you talk to them for a length of time. Can't you kind of in your head figure out if they are the oldest or one of the middle kids or the youngest? And sometimes, believe me, sometimes... you're shocked and you're wrong, but more times than not, there's just a way that people carry themselves that you can figure out. They just seem a little more responsible, and that would be the oldest.
Yeah, but see, that's opposite in my husband's family. Jimmy Mack's the oldest.
Yeah.
I think his younger brother is more responsible.
Is he really? Yeah.
I mean, if I had to peg who was birth order, I would think Bill was older than Jim.
That's interesting.
He's more responsible.
Oh. Does Jim know that? Is he aware of this?
Not until right now.
Now he is.
He might be busy. IQ is inherent. You can study and gain more knowledge, but you can't raise your IQ.
All right.
I wonder if that's really true, though.
Well, you can certainly, I mean, this
the
is
more
obvious.
You learn, isn't
the
it?
The smarter you are, but I don't know if that affects your IQ, does it? It affects your stored knowledge, but I don't know that it necessarily changes your IQ.
Somebody's laughing at us, by the way, in all caps. You three are a scream. Go back and listen to the first 3 minutes of this segment. It made my day.
All right.
But now, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Have you taken an IQ test?
Mm-hmm.
Where? And when? IQs Are Us?
No. You know the...
Iowa Test of Basic
Skills. Iowa Basic
Skills
Test.
I don't know if that's really an IQ test.
Isn't
that
it?
Is...
I thought it was.
I think that is just like to test what you've
learned.
Yeah.
Oh, then I guess it's not. I was under the impression it was. I want my money back. I wasted all my money.
You didn't pay for it.
It's still
they
money
used
back.
To be included free with the school.
Right, with schooling.
Steve, do you know if you've taken an IQ test? Because I think it would be fun if we got our hands on an IQ test and took one.
I would
take
it.
I'd like to do it off the air so we can edit in.
Make us look smarter?
Yes.
Doesn't Mensa send out a sample test? Can't you get one of those?
What, are you a member?
No.
Because you said it, like,
no.
You know, don't you get your screeners from SAG?
I'll ask Mensa if they'll send me extra tests next time.
Doesn't Mensa send out some? The last time I went to the Mensa meeting.
I'm not allowed near the Mensa meeting. I can't go anywhere near them.
We got to find an IQ test, and I don't trust anything on the internet, so we have to find some place to get an IQ
all
test.
Right. I'm in.
I'm in, but I'm scared because I'm the youngest. So researchers in Edinburgh said parents are able to give their first child more mental stimulation and support in developing thinking skills. What did I just say?
I agree with that. That's got to be right.
By the time the subsequent children come along,
that's
parents,
what my parents called my brother, the subsequent child. That's the name of his book.
By the time the subsequent children come along, parents had changed their behavior markedly enough that they took part in fewer activities with the child, such as craft and music. That is totally true.
Yeah.
Because when that second kid's born, you've got a toddler running around.
Right.
Maybe, you know, there's 3.5 years difference with my kids. So I had a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have time to really dote on baby Dylan like I did with baby Michael.
Right.
Researchers say this is because they just have less attention to give each child. But your heart grows bigger with each child you have.
Yeah, we, you know, Reese and Kylie are born a minute apart, but we treated them totally differently. We took Kylie on all kinds of great trips and stuff. Every once in a while, we'd give Reese gum.
Who's older, Kylie?
Kylie's 1 minute older.
And she's the most responsible one? See what I'm saying?
You know what? It depends on the circumstance.
Agreed.
It really does. There's sometimes where it's completely reversed. There's sometimes where you go, yeah, all right, that makes sense. You're the oldest one. Of course you do that. But then other times, Reese shocks us with stuff. So.
And same with Jim and his brother, Bill. Like, some are smarter, like more street smart.
Yeah.
Some are more book smart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it fluctuates. But
Reese has stuff mapped out, like, for the next 3 years. Like, I could ask her something, and I'll go, what are you doing February 19th, you know, 3 years from now? And she'll show me on a graph. She'll go, I got a lunch in the morning, and then I got it. And I don't know how she does that.
She's very organized.
Yeah. But Kylie, half the time, is like, what day of the week is this? And I'll have to tell her, and she'll go, I think it was Wednesday. Yes, no, it's Wednesday today.
See, that's why you can't base it. Although only a minute apart, I don't know if it makes that much difference.
I know.
All right, 312-981-7200. Your birth order and how smart you are, does it matter? Ain't kidding.
Yes.
All right.
Catch me outside. Well, a study in Edinburgh, at the University of Edinburgh, proves what I think everybody already knew, and that is that older children are way smarter than any children that follow.
Okay, that's not exactly what it said. They didn't say way smarter.
I wrote in the word way on my sheet. So way smarter than the rest of the children. Not even close. Can't even compare.
All right. We were talking about IQ, and is that something you're born with? Is that something that can be nurtured and you can do better on an IQ test? Have any of us ever taken an IQ test? I don't think I have. And an Iowa Test of Basic Skills, somebody texted in and said that was just basing on what you learned academically.
Oh,
not
I guess so. All
technically
right.
An IQ test. But, Bill, as a member of Mensa, your co-member David has called in. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hello. How are you?
Smart. How are you?
You're not as smart as you think.
Oh, that's a truthful story. So you are a member of Mensa, correct?
Yeah, actually, many years ago, a friend bet me that I couldn't get in, and it was the easiest $100 I ever made, but I had to go take an IQ test. So I studied up on the various IQ tests, and that Iowa test is not an IQ test.
It isn't. All right.
The two major IQ tests are the Stanford-Binet exam and the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale. Those are the majority of the IQ tests are given. To make it into Mensa, you need to be in the 98th percentile
wow.
of the United States.
Well,
so,
well, congratulations to you. Do you remember any of the questions on the test? Can you throw them, Wendy, my way?
No, because actually Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale is a little bit more weighted to memory. It had trivia stuff, like where does rubber come from?
Oklahoma.
You know, a little bit about chemistry, a little bit about biology and all that. But one of the reasons I made it in is because it was very biased towards memory. And I have something called superior remote memory. I can remember conversations from 30 years ago. But
wow.
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Well, that is really fascinating, and I can't remember anything. Like, how are you with people's names, David?
Can you meet them, and 4 seconds later, what was your name again?
Yeah, that's how I am.
It freaks people out when I talk to them, and I see them after, like, 20 years, and I say, hey, and this happened with a guy once, doing a coal pulverization project for a utility company,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him, I said, how did that coal pulverization research project go? His mouth dropped because he said, I don't even remember that. How the heck did you do it?
Spoken and, like a member of Mensa, by the way. How did that coal polar
that's
initiation
something a Mensa
go?
Member would say. That's a greeting to
yeah,
Mensa people.
Yeah, here, I'll tell you, my first meeting at Mensa was a disaster because, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
The story is funny. All right, so I get in a group of people. I'm like 21 at the time, and everyone else is 50, 60, 70. And I get in this circle, I join this, circle, they're drinking their wine and eating their cheese, and they're talking about Immanuel Kant, the famous German philosopher.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah.
The critique of pure reason, and it's disgusting. I read it 1,000 times, I still don't understand it. So they say, what the heck are you doing here then? And it was very snooty, it was very arrogant. I said, you know what, you're right. I don't know about German philosophers, but I do know what HGPRT is. And they said, what the heck's that? And I said, hypoxanthine guanine phosphoribosyl transferase. Without it, you'd be dead.
And you really shouldn't be so conceited because I don't know German philosophers, but I do know molecular biology. So.
Well played.
It is good, but my head just exploded.
Well played. So, David, even among Mensa members, there's a hierarchy, right? I mean, you can be smart, and then there's the uber smart even among the smart, right?
That's what I said. You're not so smart. I went to the University of Chicago. Very good school. Excellent school. I also have friends at MIT.
Yeah.
They put me to shame in intelligence and in their mathematical reasoning and their memory.
Yeah. Hmm.
After speaking to David, I realize that neither you nor me will ever be in Mensa.
Nope.
But so where can we go to find an IQ test?
There's stuff online. There's stuff in bookstores. They're good. They're reasonably accurate. But if you really want a good one, you got to go to a clinical psychologist. Or clinical psychologists are ones that administer it. They're the ones that administer it right. You could probably get some master's degree counselor to also administer it. Mine was administered by a PhD in clinical psychology. So he did a total evaluation,
Are you born with your IQ? Is this something that you can accelerate on by studying or something?
I've read a lot of stuff on it, and there's a bunch of people at Stanford that have written some stuff on this. Of course, Stanford-Binet-type IQ test. I don't know if that's exactly where it came from.
Stanford-Binet was on The Cosby Show, Wendy. Played his daughter.
Yeah, right.
Married to Lenny Kravitz later.
Yes, for a little while.
Okay. You're showing your IQ now.
That's not good. That's terrible.
Anyways, I think you can it's not like you can prepare, but you can make your memory better.
So it really involves memory, because I don't have that memory. I really have difficulty remembering things.
Well, practice memory. You can practice reading comprehension. You can get tutoring, but you're going to only jack your IQ up a few points. You know, if you're born with, you know, just not the brightest bulbs in the packages, they say, it's going to be very hard for you to make it to the 90th percentile. But if you have really good schooling, if you've ever heard of neuroplasticity,
yes.
You can train your brain to do things that you never imagined.
Bill and I just looked at each other.
You but train your brain, Wendy. I'm out.
Well, there's neurofeedback.
No.
There's neurofeedback. Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's totally different. For example, my degree is in molecular biology, but I work in the investment field.
Yeah.
It's a totally different set of learning. People talk to me. I talk with the largest money managers and pension funds. I work at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I have a publication. But my degree is in science, but I work in the investment field. I have no coursework. All my coursework is in molecular biology and biochemistry. I have none in business, finance, or investing. I'm self-taught, so you can teach yourself and you can program your brain to learn new things if you have a really good background and good education.
I think David should come and hang with us for lunch once a week and just teach us stuff.
That'd be all right.
See him in Glenwood.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to do that.
All right.
I would love to do that.
All right. David, thank you. You have stunned us all.
You're welcome.
All right.
Call back anytime when we're wrong on stuff. So talk to you in about 10 minutes.
Oh, you guys, you may be wrong on a few things, but guess what? You know, you're better than the guys cross town. So.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, David.
All right, have a good day, David.
Have a good one.
Took a little shot at Mike and Mike, didn't he?
I don't know who he's talking about. All right, well, thanks for calling. And I guess, Steve, we found out that you can't. I mean, you're pretty much born with it. You might be able to bring it up a couple of notches, but probably not much.
And so that's what makes it hard to believe that it your birth order has an impact. But
it does.
Well, we know it does,
than
Bill.
Both of us.
Yeah, we know it does.
Yeah, okay. Spoken like a true older kid. La 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 la.
That's you singing, Wendy. You can't fool me. That's not real music. It's time to talk to Dr. Adam Bennett. Dr. Bennett used to be the team physician for the Chicago Blackhawks. He's also a team physician for U.S. soccer. That's the men's and women's national team. Has done some work for the Bears as well. And we wanted to talk to you, Dr. Bennett, today about injuries in youth sports primarily, but we want to branch out into a couple of different topics. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Bennett, we talked about Mike Adamley, NBC5 newscaster, former football player with the Bears and Northwestern, and he has just come out and said that he is suffering from CTE. We then got on conversations about, you know, I don't have athletes in my family. Bill has girls. What do you do when you have a kid who is good at football and likes football? Are parents scared to let their kids play football these days?
It's a great question. It's something I think not just football deals with, but youth hockey, youth soccer, basketball, you know, all those activities are not immune to injuries. And concussions, I think, are at the forefront now because we're just learning more and more about the potential long-term consequences. So on the other hand, you want your kids to be healthy and active and to live a healthy lifestyle. So it's a real balance between getting them out there, doing activities that they love, to make friendships with and to be healthy with, and also to avoid injuries. So I think it's a balance. I think a lot of youth programs are taking a very close look at how do you strike that balance between changing some of the rules, changing some of the formats, and keeping kids healthy and uninjured and out playing and you know, not on the sidelines injured.
But Dr. Bennett, when you look at what the game of football is, you got big, strong guys constantly banging into each other and trying their best to knock each other down. It's inevitable that these are going to end with some sort of brain injury, right? I don't know how you get around that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at any activity, any trauma to whether it's your brain, your knee, and your entire body, you can have injuries. So. And I think we're learning, like I said earlier, more and more about what concussions can do down the road. And I think right now there's a lot more questions than answers. So, you know, it's a lot of it is erring on the side of safety. I've been with the Bears since 2004, and in how we manage concussions, even in 2004 compared to the 90s, was very different. And now it's drastically different between how it was in 2004. So, I think taking a safety-first approach and recognizing that there may be long-term consequences to some of these injuries is sort of has been a good approach. I think we don't know all in all what's in store over the next 5 to 10 years in terms of some of the long-term issues.
Dr. Adam Bennett on the line with us, Assistant Professor of Family and Community Medicine at Northwestern Orthopedic Institute, also on staff Northwestern, North Shore University Health System, St. Joseph's Hospital. We were also talking about the CTE and concussions happening when it's like a head-on-head collision. But now I thought I read reports that even, you know, if you're tackled and your body is stationary, you get tackled, your head moves back. Is that all kind of connected to this, or does it have to be a head-to-head collision?
So when it comes to concussions, it's surprising. I mean, it seems some of the more innocuous blows can lead to concussions, and we know this from boxing, that if you get hit in your jaw and you turn your head sideways, even a less than significant force or not even a high like velocity force can create a concussion, where sometimes a big hit right to the forehead doesn't lead to any problems. So, yes, to answer your question, mild trauma to the head can lead to concussion. Sometimes more significant forces won't lead to any problems as it relates to concussions, mostly because of the forces that the brain experiences. And a quick sort of whip-like force seems to be more likely to lead to a concussion than sort of a direct to a forehead sort of force.
Can these players who played for years in the NFL and had concussions over the years but don't seem to be experiencing any of the side effects, do they have a bleak future even if they've gone a couple of years from their playing days and don't seem to have any trouble? Is there trouble ahead?
Well, I hope not. But, I mean, at this point, I wouldn't assume that they have a bleak future just because as we learn more and more about it, and certainly the evidence is concerning. But, you know, humans are designed to heal. There's a lot of other variables, I think, when it comes to different chemical levels in the body and genetic differences between people. And I think a lot of that stuff's being looked at. Everything to use of fish oils and other sort of preventative strategies that vary from person to person. So I think just because someone has played football and has had concussions doesn't mean they have a bleak future. I myself played college soccer. I had numerous concussions, and so far so good. But it is something I worry about. But, you know, I think as we learn more and more and about the genetic differences from person to person, we'll be able to answer those questions a lot better.
There was an article recently in the New York Times saying that the USA Football, the national governing body for amateur football, is talking about introducing an altered youth football game. More what, like flag football with fewer players? What are they doing about this?
So that's called modified tackling football. And if you look at their website, they actually do a nice description of what they're trying to accomplish here. You have flag football, which is very popular. My kid actually currently plays that. then you have an 11v11 full field tackle football, which is sometimes being played by 6, 7, 8 year olds. What they're trying to do is develop a program that sort of bridges developmentally the skills necessary to go from a young 6, 7, 8 year old to a 15, 16, 17 year old high school football player that really teaches a lot of skills, a lot of agility, and is less focused on tackling, on big hits. And I think it does, one, it helps develop skills, and two, it helps prevent injuries. I think that they're developing it. I think they've piloted it in Cleveland, in a community in Indiana, and got good feedback, but they're not jumping to anything just yet. They're developing it and piloting it over a couple of years, and then they're going to come up with a more, I think, concrete set of rules and very clear guidelines for ages and number of players and rule changes. But at this point, I think it's more of a player development issue, which is common in youth soccer. For example, they have younger kids. It used to be, when I grew up, it was 11v11 at age 4, and you have a bunch of kids just standing around. And now it's 4v4 at young ages, and then 6v6, and then 8v8, and then 11v11. I think football is kind of modeling that, which I actually think is a good thing, because the kids tend to run more, be more active, and often get less injured. So I think those are all good things.
All right, we have some listeners that have some questions for you, so we're going to take a quick break and continue talking with Dr. Adam Bennett. He is with a lot of places, North Shore University Health System, Northwestern Memorial Hospital, St. Joseph Hospital, and Assistant Professor of Family and Community Medicine at Northwestern Orthopedic Institute. 312-981-7200. If you have some questions about football or CTE, we're here to answer them. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
It is us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking sports medicine and sports injuries with Dr. Adam Bennett. Dr. Bennett practices sports medicine at North Shore University's health system. He has worked with the Chicago Blackhawks, with the U.S. soccer men's and women's national team, and with the Bears. It was your idea, Dr. Bennett, to raise ticket prices, I read. Is that true?
Absolutely my idea. Really fully in favor of it.
Great idea.
All right.
Pay the doctors more.
All right. We have listeners that have a couple of questions for you. And let's begin with Ruth. Hi, Ruth. This is Dr. Adam Bennett.
Hi there. Okay. Hi. I just wondered, when my granddaughter was five now. When she was 3, crawling under the coffee table, she got up thinking, you know, she didn't realize, and she hit her head. And within a short time, she threw up. So she was taken to the hospital, and they said she did have a concussion. So basically, that happens frequently, or with young children or something. Or.
And are there any, you know, long-term effects from?
No, I mean, she's very good. And I like the last caller, because when we play Old Maid, we do it in memory. Turn the cards over, and when you pick one up, see if you remember where you saw it before.
Keeps your brain fresh.
Sure.
She's good.
But, Dr. Bennett, a one-time event like that, although it can be dangerous, it's nothing compared to what athletes are going through who are subjected to that often, correct?
Yeah, and I think a couple of things. Kids, I mean, their skull isn't fully formed, so they actually tolerate head trauma a lot better, because any swelling in the brain is tolerated by the skull not being sort of a closed environment. Kids' brains develop, I mean, they're very what we call plastic, meaning they can develop even if they've had a stroke or other problems. Kids tend to grow out of that, so to speak, a lot better. That said, their brain is also, I think, a little more fragile. So mild concussion, a kid might, you know, take longer to heal. They might throw up. They might have difficulty concentrating. I mean, my 12-year-old, you know, got a concussion at school and then was walking in the hallways. Another kid just threw a basketball and hit him in the head, and his symptoms last another 2 or 3 weeks longer. That's not uncommon in children. So that's why a lot of the scientific community in sports and medicine has moved towards some rules limiting exposure to concussions, whether it's in football or soccer, because we know that the kids, you know, 12 and under.
Right.
Sorry about your granddaughter, but the good news is, you know, those are usually not very common, and kids tend to do very well despite occasionally getting a ding in the head.
Appreciate your call, Ruth.
Thanks,
we really
Ruth.
Do.
Thank you.
Pete is on the line and has a question for you as well. Hi, Pete. This is a great question for Dr. Bennett.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill. Hi, Dr. Bennett.
Hi,
yeah,
Pete.
They play full contact football in Australia, and I know rugby is also a heavy contact sport. Have they done concussion studies on those sports as related to using helmets? Because they don't use helmets.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. Do you know, sometimes you think with those old leather helmets that they wore, that the Bears wore and other football teams, without that extra protection, perhaps they didn't hit each other as hard as they do now. Any truth to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something what we've looked at. The tackling technique in rugby and Australian rules football is a little bit different. They don't tend to lead with their head. And that's some of the origin of the heads-up football movement in USA football that they developed a few years ago, trying to tackle more upright and more of a rugby style. So concussions still occur in those sports, and you know, they have a little bit more head trauma, lacerations, things like that, that we see less often in hockey and American football because of the helmet. But it's a good point. It's something that people have looked at a lot, on just more of techniques of tackling and how different it is when you're not wearing a helmet and you have to kind of protect your face, your nose, and your skull, which sometimes in years ago they used to use the helmet as a sort of a weapon, as a method of tackling. And that's when helmet spearing was outlawed in the game. And now leading with your head, helmet-to-helmet contact in the NFL is also, that's a penalty. So it's, some of that is based on, you know, just looking at what's happening with rugby and Australian rules football. So it's been actually, I think, helpful in our evolution of looking at concussion. Something, it's a good point, Pete, because it's something that we've looked at in sports medicine, the rates of concussion in other tackling sports, and how are they different and why are they different?
Thank you for your call, Pete. We appreciate it. I was reading, it was signing day at a lot of high schools for seniors that are going on to college, and you're looking at the students that have signed up for various sports. Any advice to parents that are listening right now that have a kid playing football or other sports on how they can help their kids play more safely?
Advice on that. So for one, the good thing I'll tell you about college sports is that you have athletic trainers who are sort of the ground troops when it comes to protecting your kids. They are there at every practice. They're there at, you know, helping even on road trips and even giving them counseling about schools and, or excuse me, about classes and how to function well as a student athlete. So you have athletic trainers who are kind of the medical eyes and ears for all of your children who play college sports. So the one thing I would say is moving from high school to college is know that you have medical supervision almost 24/7. And there's now a lot more rules in place in terms of tackling, also in terms of how we manage concussions, how we communicate to your son or daughter's professors in classrooms and saying, hey, look, unfortunately this athlete had a concussion. So for the next 3 weeks, this is going to be their academic schedule to allow them to heal.
Someone else wants to know, their kid was told, it was recommended that my son goes to concussion therapy. Was just wondering what the validity of concussion therapy is and what it is.
So, I mean, it's a long answer, but in short, there's certain exercises you can do that use sort of your vestibular system, which is sort of the balance system in your ears, that you kind of go through a progression that helps your brain heal.
Just if I can, one other quick question. You mentioned that a lot of schools are taking precautions. If an athlete has a concussion, they give them a 2 or 3 week break from sports. Isn't there a fear, though, that a lot of these athletes, just to get noticed by professional teams, won't want to take that 2 or 3 week break because they want to showcase their abilities?
Yeah, but it's sort of non-negotiable. I mean, I've had plenty of high school athletes that say, hey, I have to play this weekend because I have some schools looking at me this weekend, and this is my chance at a scholarship. And it's, unfortunately, there's no good time for an injury. So that's not negotiable. Coaches and trainers know to take a player's helmet away when they get a concussion and know they can't put it back on and play until they've gone through a progression to make sure it's safe for them to return. So while there's always that pressure, whether it's a concussion or a knee injury, ankle injury, you got to return to play once you're healthy and ready. And also, if they're injured, they're not going to go and perform the way they need to get that scholarship.
Sure.
So that's another thing I remind them of.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And again, you know, I don't have athletes, so I don't have to worry about this. But there are a lot of parents listening that do. And Dr. Adam Bennett here to answer some of those questions. We totally appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
You too, Dr. Bennett. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Rowan and Anna have next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And I guess this is us. This has been a really long day, Bill. That's all I can tell you. And I want to tell you about your immune system because, you know, when you get stressed out, your immune system goes haywire.
That's what's happening to you right now.
I'm so glad I take Natron's Healthy Trinity. Natron is the pioneer that started the whole probiotic category. the only company that we trust for our probiotics. Natron's Healthy Trinity is a combo platter of three of the most potent probiotics available. Helps to keep your gut balanced on the inside. Your body will run at peak performance when your gut is in good shape. Bill took the Natron 90-day risk-free challenge. It's a year later, and you look fabulous.
Look at my gut, Wendy. Have you ever seen my gut look better? Punch me. Go on, as hard as you can. Go ahead.
You take the challenge, too, and then ask someone to punch you. If you don't feel better in those 90 days, go ahead and return your Healthy Trinity for a full refund, no risk. Natron's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-866-4-NATRON. First 50 callers get free second-day delivery, so hop to it. 1-866-4-NATRON, N-A-T-R-E-N, or you can go to natron.com. If you do, use my name, Wendy, in the promo code box.
Yep.
That's it. I'm done for the day.
Wendy Gut. Put that in there.
Oh, I just, you know what? I makes my heart hurt when Wendy is upset.
Yeah.
I know.
Because Wendy weeps. The world weeps.
I know. Because Wendy's never really upset. She's like a cool rock chick that is always just sort of, it's always kind of like coming off your back, right?
Right.
It's like,
she's,
you know,
rolling kinda, with it.
Yeah,
usually,
you're rolling. It rolls
I don't
off
like
your back.
Technical gaffes. They drive me nuts.
Yeah. And but when you're like a, you know, but you're from that, you're from that era of like, hey, nothing can touch me. I'm bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
I want that Wendy back. Where's that Wendy?
Not here for today.
You can you
lost
can win it.
Sea.
I'm done.
Hey, yeah, you're having a better day than Kellyanne Conway. That's all I'm going to say.
She's at least smoother. She sounds better.
But you've not been reprimanded.
No. Counseled.
No.
Counseled.
Did I say reprimanded? Right. Counseled.
She went to re-education camp. Keep doing it.
But just pretend you're not.
Sails her up.
Who counseled her? Who was it?
They won't,
know?
Say.
They won't say.
No.
It is actually, she did break the law.
Yeah, there's that.
That is the question we pondered earlier.
She
it
actually
is
did, yes. It's
law
been
breaking.
Confirmed now, yeah. She broke
really?
The law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a government employee cannot use a government facilities and while on working hours to promote a private product, you know, or a product.
Mm-hmm. Which she kind of 100% did.
Right.
So exactly. What's the point?
Really wasn't a line
what's
there,
the
was
consequence?
There?
Well, it's up to the White House to decide what they want to do.
Oh,
will she be in Orange is the New Black next season?
I think, you know what I'm... For the crazy eyes.
Yep. Yep.
Come here, scantwig! I think that if Jeff Sessions has any kind of gonads, the first thing he's going to do is indict her.
Yes.
His first act
yes.
as Attorney General.
Just to show how independent
just to show
he
how independent.
Well, of course, it already went against Trump. Now you've got this.
Boy, is this great.
Yeah.
If it were a reality show, it would be great. But this is the world we're living in.
Right. Well, this is also the world. I think that one of the things that's funny about this, and I think that this is where kind of where we are 3 weeks in, is that the world has looked to America. The world kind of, you know, it sneers at America. Oh, well, they think they're so great. Mm-hmm. And they think they're all this. But they do rely on us for a lot of the structures and to keep the world economy moving through because, 40% of all capital in the world works its way on in any given day through the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of a sudden we start to short circuit.
Dominoes.
They're going to be like, what? And then who's going to be daddy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's why Putin, it's like a perfect play for him, even though he's a smaller economy. China's the obvious play because China's the number two economy in the world or number one, depending on the quarter.
Right.
And so it's just easier for them to go, okay, we got a new daddy. We're going to be hungry 15 minutes later, but we got a new daddy.
As long as you're buying Ivanka Trump's products, Kellyanne's okay.
You're okay. America's okay as long as you're buying that. You know what Nordstrom needs to do?
What's this?
First of all, they need to change your name to Nordstrom's so that everybody...
So the people in Chicago get it right.
It bothers me, though, to hear people say Nordstrom's. I wanted to correct
Thank
everybody.
You, Wendy.
I'm so with you all day. It's Nordstrom.
But then what about the Jewels?
I
no
don't
one
say
says
that
Jewels.
Either.
Over by Jewels?
Some
the
people
Jewels.
Do say... It's incorrect, but some people do say it.
Yeah, where are you going? You over by the Jewels.
Soldiers
Jewels.
Field?
Yeah.
Soldiers no one says Soldiers Field.
Mayor Daley said it.
Yeah. Well, what does he know?
And what point. Did where Barack Obama say Comiskey Field? So there you go.
Okay. I'm a big Sox fan.
Oh.
I can tell.
Yeah. It's outside.
Yes, oh. Nordstrom. No
yeah,
S.
Anyway, so Nordstrom should just release the sales numbers.
You know what? But I think that
they
wouldn't
audited.
Show
they
that.
You don't think it's true? That
I
it
don't
was
think
a bottom performer for them.
No,
you think it was political?
I do.
Huh,
and it's their business. It's their store. Can't they decide
can
what
sure,
they want to do?
Sure as heck,
well, they
do
can
it
just
if
show,
they
well,
want
Billy,
to.
It's political. If we're selling, or they weren't showing store, you know, and they were having store by store sales issues.
Yeah.
So if they, but they could just show make the economic case. and show what's happening. And this is what we're going to do. And this is not political. They should come out. You know that, by the way, Mr. Nordstrom, it's owned by a family.
Yeah, yeah.
So
brothers.
It is possessive. It is Nordstrom's store.
The Nordstrom apostrophe S. Yeah. But just it's Nordstrom.
Better be pronounced Nordstrom's. Anyway, this is not why you called.
No.
They should. That guy is not like a, like, you know, a big time Democrat.
No, but he stood up against the ban.
Yes.
And he was political about that prior to this announcement. They say that the decision had been made weeks before and they had had a conversation with Ivanka about it. So.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
There
you
Very
go. Unfair.